Hi, everybody. This is Beth. Thank you for joining us tonight on the Galactic Healing Call. And I'm here with Marita and Tara and Rama.
Greetings.
Welcome, everyone. We're glad you're all here with us.
I'm so excited tonight because we have something special ready, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun. So I would love it if we could start with the hard news. What have you got?
Just a second. I got to have a drink.
Wow, is it that bad?
Yeah. It's called pomegranate, green tea pomegranate from Yogi Bhajan.
Oh, that's not what she meant.
I know.
Talking about the hard news.
Yeah, it is that intense. Oh, my God. What can I say? It all goes back to what we've been saying since the very beginning. It's all about the stargates.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say what's going on is I got a call, well, earlier in the day, and I'll start at the beginning, Stephanie Miller and the Mooks, as she calls them, her friends who do the show with her, were all talking about the issues at hand where the healthcare is what it is. And Nicole Sandler, who was sitting in for Randy Rhodes today, did a good half-hour blurb on what the healthcare is and what it is not. And I will just say that it is not about your granny being rounded up and sent to a death panel. Nothing like that is going to happen. And Obama is not coming to take the guns away from anyone. All of those things are lies, number one. And the stories that are going on are to the roof. I mean, there's a Republican congressman that's calling for a velvet revolution, yet at the same time, I'll say that it is not exactly, it's a different kind of revolution. It's about respect for all life. What is happening today is how this is historic, where Denis Kucinich has said, I am going to vote for this. It is a bad bill, yet no bill is worse. And Bernie Sanders has said the same thing, and he's the closest thing,
I think. He did more than that. He was very distinctly saying that there are necessities to make this worthy of everyone's time in terms of regulations, yet I don't think these guys are going to have a chance to do any more messing around. They have been putting the news out that, you know, Tim Geithner, Beth told me yesterday she didn't like what Rachel did with Tim Geithner, yet I watched it last night, Beth, and I think she did just what she needed to do. At the end, she cut it off absolutely neutral. She did not make a comment to him. And I just tell you, I was looking at Tim Geithner's aura, and I saw the same edge that he had when he was being interrogated how many months ago?
Oh, yeah, by the committees.
Yes, and there is a place inside that we need to praise, respect, thank, and love. It's the same thing I see with Rahm Emanuel. It's the same thing I see with, you know, the time when, and by the way, Hillary just blew the lid off of everything. And that must be something that has been negotiated behind the scenes. Yet, you know, she went from saying it was time to annihilate Iran. And this morning I heard on the Laura Flanders show, which is that They are going to a different schedule, number one. Laura Flanders is going to a half an hour, 5 days a week, instead of an hour, 4 days a week. And she's got a new studio now in downtown Manhattan. And they're getting revved up because, you know, Amy Goodman's got the most incredible studio there ever was built. And it's barring none. And they have been very busy taking the archives of Pacifica Radio and getting them on digital and getting them off of those old reel-to-reels.
Right.
And saving all the movies. And Somewhere Over the Rainbow, that one is very special because that rainbow, we are that rainbow, and over that rainbow, that Sananda Kumara, he says, I come as a rainbow. I come as a rainbow. And the deal is that they are doing things to get this sanity back. I mean, Hillary said, she said to the affront of Joe Biden and 1,600, excuse me, new settlements right in the same nightly news. While we know something, because Joe Biden was something like 4.5 hours late for dinner, and it was supposed to be regarding peace talks with the Palestinians.
Yep.
And instead, they gave him their answer by doing that. And then this morning, another 300 were declared in the making. And then Hillary, in the same breath, is denouncing them for that. And that's a swift turnaround. Something's going on there that is, Rama.
All of this has to do with the total exposure of these characters that, like Ashtar has said, this is about sex gate to the roof. And it is so over the edge with the stories that, as Ashtar and Sananda would land and the others, healthcare would take a very back seat along with everything else. And I would just say,
well, no, it wouldn't take a back seat. It would go to universal health care.
It would go
right
to
away.
Universal health care.
Don't say back seat. It's already in the back seat.
All right. Yes, out of context. I'll just say, as Ashtar and Sananda land, everything is shifted to universal balance. And this is a first step. Nicole Sandler put it the best way today, where she was telling the pieces that there are going to be some very good things that happen with this healthcare bill, yet at the same time, it is not all the way. And I would say it's going to squeak through, and it is going to pass, and then they are going to tweak it, and it is going to get a public option that leads into universal health care. And that is what's being said. This ties into what Larry Curley and Mo said to me today, and Tom the Ring-Tailed Cat. And this, Nancy Pelosi, you won't hear this from, I guess, anyone else, and I'll just say, like Dr. Greer says, there's no conversation on the planet that's private anymore. So they're listening to us. And at the same time, they know Mother is here. The story of Pandora is just another analogy for Nibiru. And the story's about propagation and landing parties and occupation and invasion. And it's all being told right now. All the heroes are showing up with their gifts, their abilities, along with the prophets that have been foretold of. It was no accident earlier this week, Steve Colbert, out of the blue, starts talking about Lord Maitreya showing up. And he's showing YouTube videos of Benjamin Krem saying, that the Maitreya is here and they're linking and they're linking him up with Rajpatal. Now, Rajpatal, he wrote a book called The Value of Nothing, and it's a very good book. And what he is talking about is changing the way structures are created now financially and how to give them a new use. And it's being done. And who is to say whether he might be a new updated version of Lord Maitreya? I'm not going to say that. He's not saying that. Steve Colbert is kind of alluding to that. And Benjamin Krem, also in the video, says the Maitreya will show up on a TV show that everybody knows. It's all across the planet.
And he said that since a long time ago.
That's right.
Well, Raj Patel was on the Jon Stewart show last night. Is that right, Jon Stewart? Or was
no, that was a while ago.
He was filmed in a little clip somewhere between Laura Flanders and Jon Stewart and Amy Goodman.
Yeah.
And the cycles of what's going on here is... Anyway, the thing I wanted to say is behind the scenes, I heard... Wait a minute. This is very important. I want to get Rama to check it back because... I heard that the reason that they did not negotiate with Joe Biden about Palestine is because
yes.
they were there to decide to do something very wrong in Iran, and that means Ashtar again. So I expect that next Tuesday, Ashtar on the road may well be having a message regarding this, although he's the one that told us first and foremost there's going to be a sex gate like you've never seen before. And so there's got something to do with another time, you know, that's got the Rose Law Firm in mind and 1993 and the death of Vince Foster, her lover, and on it goes. And all those pieces are now not separate chunks of, oh, well, let's forget about that. Now we've got O.J. Simpson to worry about. And she's going into office a second time. Wow. Anyway, I just say the DNA has been enhanced by us collectively. And we are in the universal mind.
I was just going to say what Larry Turley and Mo shared with me today.
Rama, I'm sorry. I just have to go back for a second because we're laughing about Raj Patel. But I want to be really clear. Do we know who the Maitreya is?
Right. Maitreya always said that he would show up as the 10th incarnation of Kalki Maitreya, the Mahdi.
Yes, and ride on a white horse. And literally, those things have symbolically been done all around the world. Now, you've got to remember something. This one is a shapeshifter. We had one, Shiva. What's his name? Babaji.
Yeah.
Have you any experience with the many faces of Babaji, from looking like he's 19 to 180, and I'm just saying that there's been thousands and thousands of lifetimes, not just one, going on with these beings, and so this one, and it was said that this one would stutter, so the energy of which Benjamin Krem formed the Share International, it started out with the Green Torah Society.
Right.
And that's out of the tear of, there's this Tibetan story about out of the tear of Avalokitesvara, the Green Torah appeared, meaning that in that form, she remained the Bodhisattva.
Right.
The holder of the Bodhisattva of the Shekinah energy, which is the source, the goddess energy, which is, yeah. you know the most wonderful thing about being children of the sun? That's where your imagination comes from. It comes from the sun. And we are children from that imagination. And, you know, it's kind of a funny way of putting it, but yet when the Dalai Lama came, this little group of us that were aware of our goodly company past histories, and we all are that to each other now, believe me, and we're remembering very well. And so we went and we wrote up something called Ministry of the Children, relating to that the children will come in the Southwest. And that's the Hopi prophecy. And that's the prophecy of the story now that we're learning about. The story that Stargate in Babylon, in the Garden of Eden, E-D-O-N-E, yes, Lord Rama.
I just wanted to go back to Larry Curley and Moe because this ties in with the Stargate. Because where was Nancy Pelosi in the last, what is today, Wednesday? And there's been some stories out there, and let's just say Larry Curley and Moe told me today Nancy Pelosi went over to Baghdad and she, in the palaces of Saddam Hussein, they found a ring of that mysterious blue-grayish metal that the Stargate is made out of. And in another room, they found the pedestal with the dial and the big red button. And this is right out of Stargate SG-1 in Atlantis. It's no joke. Mm-hmm. And she showed up over there with General McChrystal and I guess Mr. Petraeus and other members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, along with NASA and other kinds of folks. And they got the Stargate up and running, yet, and I asked Larry Curley and Moe, and they said, and I said, how did they get it? I asked them, how did they get it running? And they said, batteries. And I said, batteries? And I kept going over, batteries, 0-point modules, ZPMs, those are the batteries, but still and yet, those 0-point modules have to work with a frequency of love. And they got the gate up and running. And when you push the red button, nothing happens. And the reason being is it's up to Ashtar and Sananda when they will release the codes and Saint Germain and the Ascended Masters. And I turn it over to them because they are the ones that are holding the Stargates in place. And still and yet, all of it has to do with the announcements first and foremost, nothing else. How can it happen that we could talk about something called funding and trusts and something called deliveries and packages and on we go? How can any of that happen without these folks being taken care of? Right now, what is being lined up, and it's happening at light speed, yet it may look like a snail's pace with what is going on. Yet, for the first time in over 100 years, we are going to get something called health care, which is a good thing. And still and yet, it's not what it should be. And this is where I have to just say there are certain things going on behind the scenes that have to do with the Lavender Lad that no one is talking about. And I talked to Lady Master Nada today for a couple of minutes. I forgot to say that, Beth.
Oh, my God.
And Lady Master Nada told me that this has to do with a certain understanding that is coming across with certain key members of the Congress, one of them being Dennis Kucinich, another one of them being Bernie Sanders, another one being Maxine Waters. And that is all she would tell me, in the understanding that there is these keys players that have, I don't know, it's something to do with what Saint Germain has the ultimate say-so in terms of how things get tweaked, and it will be what Ted Kennedy's dream was about, universal health care for every man, woman, and child right now. And I firmly believe
Well, you know, Barack Obama was getting interviewed on Fox News. I sat there and I went, whoa. And then, you know, Lawrence, what's his name, O'Donnell? O'Connell?
Lawrence O'Donnell, yes.
O'Donnell, he played all the playback of that. And he's really good. That Lawrence O'Donnell was good, too.
Yeah.
I wonder, I just think maybe that Keith's going to be back next week or something.
I think so.
Tomorrow would be fine. Happy St. Patty's Day, everyone.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And I don't want to take anybody away from hard news unless we're done.
I'm trying to think of anything else that I heard this morning.
I just want to say we have heartfelt condolences to the Olbermann family.
Yes.
We do. In Washington.
We have them in our heart, Theodore and Keith and everybody.
I'm just going to say that the way that that family got together around their dad through the whole thing, and he read his famous Thurber short stories to him through the whole thing, the whole 6 months at the end.
And I'm just going to say at this certain point, there is a certain thing that's happening on this planet right now as what we are witnessing as the Nephilim, the Elohim, these ones who are our brothers and sisters, Anunnaki. And I will just say, even as they are having to come forward and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, I have to say that there is a shift that's occurring planetary-wide, and this is lining up with the great dark rift in the center of the galaxy as we line up with 2012, December 21st. And this has to do with the frequency that is coming essentially from Mother, and that dark rift, which is an entrance into the parallel universe. All of this relates to how we do this with love, grace, dignity, beauty, respect, and justice. And there are free energy technologies that are about to be released by folks connected with the Black Dragon Society. Larry and Curly told me this today. And these free energy technologies...
Is that their form of retribution for the Queen of England to give back and get this back on the road?
That's, yes.
New technology.
New technologies where inventors and people that are working with things that, if you got remember a guy named Dennis... What was the guy with the machine?
Dennis Lee.
I will just say...
That magnetic energy has shifted, I thought.
There are folks connected with the Black Dragon Society in Japan and others that have also worked with some visitors. And these visitors, let's say, they're not from here. They're from a far-flung neighborhood in our local...
Are they good guys?
They are from the Boots constellation.
Mm-hmm. And what's their mission?
Their mission is to help bring the free energy technologies to the people.
And make sure that they use their boots if they have anything in the way?
Well, I just know they're from that constellation.
Okay.
And
you know, Puss in Boots and use a cat with their boots on. Let's get it going.
Oh, well, these folks are about 9.5 to 10.5 feet tall, green.
Oh, good.
They're green with black hair.
And what, green skin?
Green skin with black hair.
And what color are their eyes?
Their eyes are almost a jet full black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're very strong. And
so what exactly do they do when they come here?
They're
and who asked them to come here?
They're part
Mother Earth?
They're part of our galactic neighborhood that have come to help offer free energy technology to the people of Earth.
Right now.
Right now, in order as...
That's Mother Earth's help.
Yes. In
Red
a sense,
alert.
Their exchange is new information and technologies, you might say intellectual properties they are willing to share with us that can be tangible, be brought into physical manifestation for profit or not. And it is about healing all of us. Some of the technologies they're about to release are rejuvenation chambers, and they are quick, efficient, and they do the job in the sense like the man we heard about with Shantara, where he went in and he rejuvenated his dogs, and then he went in, and then the sea blank A killed him. Where at this point, those chambers have been totally redone in a way in which the chambers are an actual holographic bubble, sphere, and you stand in the bubble and the frequencies of 440 on the scale go through every molecule, every particle of your being, and these electric blue beams go through the body like a scanner, and they recalibrate every DNA strand back, and it's done in 5 minutes or less.
Mm.
This is what Larry, Curly, and Mo told me today, and I'm done. I'll pass the talking stick.
You know, Rama, I had somebody that emailed me, and they want to know who are you talking about?
I am talking about these people from the constellation BOOTES.
Boots.
No, they're talking about Curly and
Larry,
Mo.
Curly and...
Oh, you got to tell more of a story for the new people. Who in the world are Larry, Curly, and Mo, Rama?
Oh, God. This is
start
not
at the beginning.
These are not the Three Stooges. These guys are N-blank A agents that work alongside the king. And to update everyone, these three guys, along with some of the other black ops, were 50 stories below the White House on the morning of 9/11, supposedly helping Dick Cheney fly the planes into the towers. And let's just say these three guys, Larry, Curly, and Mo, saw the writing on the wall even before 50 stories below the White House, where they had made arrangements to, let's just say, Saint Germain gave them an offer they couldn't refuse. He said, you will work alongside the King of Swords and the Ashtar Command. Otherwise, you're going to be taking a visit to Herculobus and picking weeds.
They're galactic humans. You know, when we read the promise, everyone.
Yes.
I mean, it's very clear in that second paragraph. Let's see. And so the plan began before entering through the spiral dimensional energy bands and into the planet's vibrational field. Each member was programmed, that's us folks. We volunteered to go through that little Anunnaki experience all together now on both sides of the planes of reality here. And then it says, each member was programmed with coded information of a so-called past. That means our galactic nature And Beth can tell you, she can tell you all the way around. You got a giggle in you tonight, Rama.
Oh, I'm just looking at Rachel. Stu packing it in. He's trying to take on the nuns, and he's trying to create nastiness about the abortion stuff. And I'll just say it is a choice that everybody has to understand. The goddess comes first.
There were all these nuns from all these hundreds and hundreds of different convents that took a stand and stepped away from the Vatican's stance on all of this and said, you know, I forgot what they said, universal health care is for life.
That's right. And it's a right. It's not a privilege.
That's slapping the Vatican right across the face.
Universal health care is the right for every living life form on this planet, whether they are in a petri dish or standing up talking on this Skype. And I'll just say what Larry Curley and Moe did by turning and in the face and turning traitor to the dark side by serving the light, what is happening is all of the stories are being told to the people in the sense that there are all kinds of dominoes falling all across the planet with all kinds of other whistleblowers that are coming forward, and it's all unfolding in a very good way. Yet at the same time, I will just say Saint Germain has the final say so, and maybe the Admiral will address us on Easter. That is my wish. And I passed the talking stick.
Whoa.
That is what I would like to see. The Admiral get on MSNBC and CNN and Fox and say, okay, folks, we're going to have a talk about reality.
What happened there?
Oh, Beth disappeared. Yeah. Sorry.
I thought maybe she could reconnect herself since Seth had set up the call, but evidently she can't.
You got to call her back, Seth. I'm just saying that what is being talked about out there is so miraculous on so many levels, yet the diversions being talked about right now.
Oh, yes, it's very important. Everybody remember, no matter what. Oh,
good
ring,
point.
Ring.
Hello, Beth.
Sorry, thank you.
Okay, very good. Okay, so what I was saying is no matter what, arrests publicly must be taken up first. Any reportings that are saying anything else other than that are not that which is happening, whether it's been communicated that that's so or not. And then the next step would be announcement, an announcement of the enactment of Masara law, which would mean, because remember what Paul Andrew Mitchell said, he said that as of the 31st of March in 2008 at midnight, there was the the dissolution of the IRS and the
that's the right word.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what Mother Sekhmet always says.
They were defunct in the sense that they had the machine was broken, and he went through the lawful steps of saying that. Now he said that there had been, he also had been in that whole 3-4 month window before that. Remember, there was smatterings of these rainbow bills February of 2008, and they were sent out in varying places and smatterings across the country. And we saw that they were rainbow colored. The tens were red, and the hundreds were teal green, and I can't remember, you know, using all the different colors of the rainbow. And people were getting them through their Bank of America was one in Chicago, and a place like Walmart was, was able to accept it and cash it in at the desk, even though they kind of looked at, this is amazing.
Walmart will take anything.
But Banks of America, that's one of the, that's the major bank from way back 20 years ago. And you know this thing, the promise?
Mm.
This came out in 1990, everyone. Mm-hmm. Rama and I, well, no, it came out in 1991 when we met.
Yeah.
And we got it when we were living with Shield and Sharula of Telos, and actually helping a little bit to contribute to the book that got published called The Year One Read, which is about when this ascent to the completion of the work, the love, and the love of the prophet. He said, you know, watch what I do. And what I do is I take the energy of calm and peace and love, and I offer that gift, and it works. It absolutely works when there isn't something that is out of balance with that wave of energy. And of course, we had a bit of a catalyst because the Gregorian calendar was an interruption of that wave. And so it was a challenge, and it became overwhelming on purpose numerous times. Yet you must admit that this process that we have sophisticated and honed and reworked, even in the face of, you know, the end of free speech, meaning how many reporters are dead from going into Iraq? A lot. I mean, there could be thousands by now that we don't even know. And I'm just saying that freedom of speech, in spite of it, continues, and the risk. I remember that beautiful young man. I mean, he was just a spirit of Peace Corps energy, and he was down there in Oaxaca, and they shot him dead. And those were our lovely little Black Ops every time, and the Jackal story. And
right. There's a new John Perkins video out on WorldLink TV called
Apology of an Economic Hitman. In other words,
and they go deep into the story of how deep it goes with the economic hitman, how they entice the world leaders.
He said that he was at cause of the demise of the country of Ecuador.
That's right.
He facilitated the Jackal activity in Ecuador in terms of
Exxon Mobil.
Yes.
Chevron.
Yes, and just and he's just devoting the rest of his time here to going down there and allowing them to really be angry with him, and him apologizing and actually, you know, going and learning in the villages and bringing all kinds of people with him that are really wanting to help hold Exxon accountable, including Greg Palast.
That's right.
And that is being brought back now, too. Greg Palast and all the things that he did in South America with the North, Naomi Klein. These people walked where their lives were endangered. These people are awesome. It's just amazing.
And these corporations called Exxon, Mobil, Chevron, they hire CIA right now to spy for them and kill for
them.
Well,
it's too late. It's too late.
Yeah, I know.
Their CEOs are all out of money. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
What did the king say, or somebody said, what did Larry Curly Moe say about the collapse of Israel's economy?
That right now it's like what is being said by...
It's right in the act.
Israel slapped Joe Biden in the face, and you just cannot do that at this time.
No, as he goes back to being the person that was in the system as a double agent, up to him to live up to it, yet he was the Council on Foreign Relations chairperson when the Black Pope ordered his rep over there at St. Paddy's Cathedral in New York. In the same, right across the street from Rockefeller Center and the UN, and the Council on Foreign Relations offices are in those buildings right across the street. And whatever method, whatever message got there, he got the order from Cardinal Egan to do 9/11, and he gave the orders to the CIA to do 9/11. And George Tenet meaningfully took a bribe and a half from Bush Jr. and all those folks. That was $36 million or something to be the one that would take the rap for all that stuff during the 9/11 commissions and slither right through there and then get a medal. This is, you know,
in Jesse Ventura's new book, he mentions that there are CIA agents that are working in state government in every state in the country, and only he and his next in command were allowed to know their identity. And he said he never knew what they were doing there. They were just hanging out, and they were permanently employed by the state, and even if the governor changed, they kept their job. And he didn't know why these CIA agents were there, and because they're by their charter, they're supposed to be working outside of the United States.
Absolutely. That's what happened everywhere. Rama was in there when they went for Bobby Kennedy Sr.
Right.
That's what was going – that was what was wrong. Yeah.
At the Ambassador Hotel in L.A.
Ground Zero.
14 years old.
Also at Ground Zero in the assassination of JFK. Bush Sr. sitting there with his black ops CIA undercover all over, crawling all over their way. And don't forget Schwarzkopf. He pulled the trigger on the grassy knoll and put the bullet in the back of his head. Everyone.
Guess who was interviewed on 9/11 about what do you think happened here?
George Bush.
Schwarzkopf.
Oh.
It was on a YouTube I looked at this week.
Yeah, I do remember that.
He was interviewed on the nightly news to explain what in the world happened here.
Right.
Was that this week he was interviewed?
No, on 9/11 he was interviewed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've been looking back at those tapes. It's very interesting watching to look at it now. It's a completely different perspective.
And you remember, we can't forget the good job that Jesse Ventura's been doing, telling his wifey a week ago Monday night on the Larry King Live Show, honey, I'll be home to the Baja in 2 weeks after I get finished battling with the media. And he's looking right in the camera and telling that while Larry King is sitting there swallowing.
Rama, be sure if you talk to Jesse to tell him if he comes on BBS Radio, we won't battle him at all.
I will certainly pass it on.
Oh, that's thank a good you. Idea. And then, on top of that, saying the very next breath, it's time to destroy the entire Democratic and Republican Party, the whole system, and get rid of the Electoral College and wipe the slate clean. And we were told that from the very beginning, that was going to be what Nassar would do right then and there. So there will be something that will represent whatever that means with 50 members and an election coming up. And
this brings in a friend of ours. How about the light party? You know?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, the light party. It is happening. And that is what is unfolding here, where as the parties dissolve, like Jesse Ventura said, that, I mean, he's an independent. Bernie Sanders is independent. Socialist independent Democrat. And he said, I'm the closest thing to being a socialist that you can come to. And
he said, I can't wait to just call myself a socialist and leave that word
Democrat out.
You know, he doesn't really represent that kind of behavior.
And the whole idea of socialism is not about communism or fascism. And we have been led down the primrose path to nowhere because they've taken out all the civics, all the understandings of what our laws are about in from the history books and in certain places of this country. Right now, our kids are being told the earth is only 7,000 years old, and that intelligent design is how things are manifesting. And it's not pretty. Nicole Sandler talked about this today in the sense of the understanding that as Thomas Jefferson, they're wanting to write him out of the history books and call him a bad guy. And yes, Beth.
I was going to say because he was so good at
that separation of church and state is the meaning of that. Separation of church and state, and then the family in big trouble.
And also,
I get rid of that idea.
Nicole Sandler brought this up about the Moors today in the sense of St. Patrick and the Irish Black Moors. And the story about the slave ships that crash-landed, were they slave ships that landed on the shores of Ireland, and how there were wars between the people of Europe as well as the people coming that were migrating around the planet as things shifted and moved, continents and oceans. And she was just saying there are a lot of misconstrued stories about the Black Irish and the true.
How about if I read this?
Yeah, that's a good piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that, Tara?
It's called The Manifesto of the Black Thorn League.
Yeah, this is on a Rasta website that's really cool.
By Hakeem Bey, Black Thorn Manifesto, and it's about Ireland. And it's about what this day really has to do with the history of this whole situation about the land, remembering
that. Is there enough time to read it, Beth?
It's only 3 pages. It's not that long.
Okay.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
How about if we do that in honor of what really we need to know
about
this day? I mean,
right.
Okay, according to orally transmitted teachings of Noble Drew Ali, founder and prophet of the Moorish Science Temple of America, Ireland was once part of the Moorish Empire. That is, the Celts were Muslims, not Muslims. And I'll just say, you know, Grandma Moore, I'll just say she talked about, I am a Muslim. And that was where, the Catholic Church meddled with Muslim.
Yeah.
And so this is a different story. So here we go. That is, the Celts were Muslims, and there were Black Moors from North Africa, also present in Ireland. Moor Rocco, for instance, M-U-U-R-M-O-O-R. Yet the Moors were expelled by militant Christianity. This event is disguised in the legend of St. Patrick's expelling the snakes, for which reason the MST, Manifest, what is that? Manifest. MST celebrates St. Patrick's Day in a mood of irony. Oh, the Moorish Science Temple. In a mood of irony,
right.
Perhaps, in expectation of an eventual return. Capital R. Oh, that's very good way to put it. In Noble Drew Ali's system, Celts are considered an Asiatic race. Benjamin Fulford says so too, by the way, everyone. And thus potential converts to Moorish science. We consider NDA's theories, Noble Drew Ali's theories, to be racial, yet not racist. Because again, according to oral tradition, they were based at least in part on spiritual affinity. Europeans, in quotes, who wished to join the Moorish Science Temple, including some of the later founders of the Moorish Orthodox Church, were declared to be really Celts or Persians, which may have something to do with the often remarked similarity of EIR, Iran, and Iran. You know, in the Shire of the Ire of Ireland, or Iran is the first spelling, E-I-R-A-N, and Iran. Isn't that something? Let's see. Noble Drew Ali's hidden history of Ireland may be taken as an esoteric metaphor, yet it is supported in some surprising ways by archaeology and even official history. In the first place, the Celts are an Asiatic race, or at least the most recent arrivals in the West from the mysterious Hyperborean heartland of the Aryans. And on that map of Hyboria, everyone, Hyboria, 10,000 BC, we have Hyperborea located where Europe and Africa, there is no Mediterranean at all. Everything is probably, you might say, where the Alps are, where the Swiss Alps are, Rama. That's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's up there on the top of where Italy goes, up into Bavaria and Germany. Oh, my God. And then over to Yugoslavia, and all those mountains are in there, too, Rama. Look.
Mm-hmm.
That means that's...
That's how Hannibal came over with his
elephants.
Mastodons.
His elephants. His mastodons. Correct. That's 10,000 B.C., everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. And that includes that Mesopotamian Valley, and everything goes, it heads in that direction, Hyperborea. This is an enlightening, okay, let me go back to this. All right, so, okay, so I'll read that sentence. Or at least the most recent arrivals in the West from the mysterious Hyperborean heartland of the Aryans. Last of those nomadic migrations which had settled India, Persia, and Greece. Second, and you remember Hyperborea was a hot temperate climate. It was like paradise. And guess what, folks? We were black, blue-black. Second, what is one to make of those early Celtic crosses inscribed with the Bismillah, B-I-S-M-I-L-L-A-H. Do you want to say anything about that, Rama? The Bismillah?
I don't know. And say that again.
That's in your Judeo, your Hebrew rituals, the Bismillah. inscribed with the Bismillah, in the name of God, opening words of the Quran.
It's got to do with the opening of the gate of Ishtar.
The Stargate.
Yeah.
In the Middle East. Right?
Yes.
Is it in Saudi Arabia, or where is the gate of Ishtar?
In Baghdad.
It is? Is that the one that was of interest?
That is the gate of Ishtar is a different Stargate. There are a series of Stargates.
In Baghdad. Where Babylon was, where the Hanging Gardens of...
It's 8 o'clock.
Oh, it's 8 o'clock. Okay. In Kufic Arabic. Okay. In the name of God, that's the Bismillah, opening words of the Quran in Kufic, K-U-F-I-C, Arabic. Found in Ireland. Wow. The Celtic Church, before its destruction by the Roman hierarchy, maintained a close connection with the desert hermit monks of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Those are what they call the shepherd pharaoh, everyone. Abraham was, came in on that wave anyway. And then naughty things happen. Okay. It is possible that, and there was good and there was not so good. It is possible this connection persisted past the 7th and 8th centuries, and that the role of the monks was taken up by Muslims, by Sufis, in contact with a still surviving underground Celtic church, now become completely heretical and willing to syncretize Islamic esotericism with its own nature-oriented and poetic faith. Mm. Such a syncretism was certainly performed centuries later by the Templars and the Assassins or the Nizari Ismailis. That's N-I-Z-A-R-I. That's Nazi things, Dr. Tucker.
No, I will just... Nope. The Assassins are a special Islamic group that are tied in with the Jinn, that are tied in with the legions of the Black Dragon that are coming back to wholeness and love. And the Assassins are some kind of magical fire beings that can shapeshift.
Okay, because they call them here the Nizari Ismailis, I-S-M-A-I-L-I-S.
They are connected with Sanat Kumara and Shambhala the Greater and some of the other kingdoms.
Okay, when the temple was suppressed by Rome and its leaders burned at the stake, Ireland provided refuge for many incognito Templars. According to the Temple and the Lodge, these Templars later reorganized as a rogue Irish branch of Freemasonry, which in the early 18th century would resist amalgamation with the London Grand Lodge. The Islamic connection with Masonry is quite clear, both in the Templar and the Rosicrucian traditions. Yet Irish Masonry may have inherited an earlier Islamic link, memorialized in those enigmatic Celtic crosses. It's interesting to note that Noble Drew Ali's Masonic initiations may not have been limited to Prince Hall or Black Shriner transmissions, yet may also have included some hidden lines connected to Irish Masonry and dating back to revolutionary days in American history. It is known that many common soldiers in the British colonial army were Masons affiliated with the Irish rather than the London Grand Lodge. This class difference was reflected in the American Revolutionary Army, whose officers were official Masons, yet whose private ranks tended to be Irish. Wow. Historians sometimes forget that in the 18th century in America, the Irish were generally considered no better than Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
So that blah, blah. In 1741, on St. Patrick's Day, in New York, a riot broke out, involving a conspiracy which included Irish, African, and Native American men and women, naturally of the meanest sort. Wow. Say that again. In 1741, on St. Patty's Day in New York, a riot broke out involving a conspiracy which included Irish, African, and Native American men and women, naturally of the so-called meanest sort. Some Irish conspirators were overheard to swear they'd kill as many white people as possible. The uprising failed and the plotters were executed. As the bodies of two hanged in the open air decayed in an iron gibbet, observers noticed a gruesome yet instructive transformation. The corpse of an Irishman turned black and his hair curly, while the corpse of Caesar the African bleached white. It was accounted a wondrous phenomenon. Whoa, the many-headed hydra. That's mm-hmm. the name of it. Look that up. It's Linebaugh, Linebaugh, and Redeker, Rediker, and it's called the many-headed hydra story.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they drain melanin out of. This is all about this stuff. Okay. Eight. Clearly, the Celt and African were linked not only in the gaze of the oppressor class, yet also in their own worldview, as comrades, as somehow the same, in a solidarity which extended to Indians and to other Europeans who fell beneath the level of the respectable poor, into the category of slaves and outcasts. Racist feelings did not divide the 18th century poor and marginalized, as would become the case under later capitalism. I'm just going to tell you that in the grandparents, you know, my mother was German, my father was Irish, and both of them go back to the original Hebrew, you know, which goes back to the same old experiment. Yet, Micah's father's side, there was Scottish, British, French, etc., and on my father's side, I forgot to say there was also Potawatomi, so there's the Indian thing too, Irish and Indian, mm-hmm. Black Irish and Indian. I'm just saying this is just very interesting combinations. So even in the grandparent thing, there was like a little bristly stuff going on, simply because the English and the Irish over this story had a bit of a 100-year war. I'm just saying it's that recent. I mean, even in grandparents right now of this generation that I'm part of, anyway. Okay, so we go on. So, clearly the Celt and African were linked not only in the gaze of the oppressor class, yet also in their own worldview as comrades, as somehow the same, in a solidarity which extended to Indians and to other Europeans who fell beneath the level of the respectable poor, into the category of slaves and outcasts. Racist feelings did not divide the 18th century poor and marginalized, as would become the case under later capitalism. Rather, the marginalized of all races constituted an underclass, and moreover an underclass with some awareness of itself, hence with a certain power, the power of the strong victim. The consciousness might well have been developed in part by Irish black masonry of some sort, and Noble Drew Ali might have known of this tradition, which he masked or perhaps unveiled in his parable of the snakes and celebration of March 17th. In another interpretation of St. Patrick's anti-reptilism, the snakes he banished were in fact druids, Celtic pagans, black as coal, magicians. The snake may have been an emblem of the old faith, the old druidic faith, as it is for many forms of paganism, including African Dambala, D-A-M-B-A-L-L-A-H, and Indian, the Nagas, N-A-G-A-S. Nagas. They're all over this southwestern area around here, that grouping. And even for the Ophite, O-P-H-I-T-E, Christianity of Egypt, Christ himself depicted as a crucified snake. And yes, they were in Egypt. Yes, they were. Tutankhaton, his real name, of the Aton priesthood, the original true masonry of Mother. Yes. Okay, Celtic pagan lore was embedded in the Romance traditions, especially in the Arthurian material. And here, once again, we find ourselves in the world of the Arabo-Celtic crosses. For the romances are permeated with Islamic consciousness. In Mallory's Morte d'Arthur and Eschenbach's Parzival, many Saracen, S-A-R-A-C-E-N, i.e. Muslim / Moorish knights, are depicted not as enemies, rather allies of the Celts. And in the latter book, the entire story is attributed to Moorish sources, which are now lost. Saracens, Christians, and crypto-pagans are united in a mystical cult of chivalry, which transcends outward religious form and is emblematized not only in pagan symbols as the Grail and the questing beast, whereas, in addition, even in such cultural borrowings as the lute, al-oud in Arabic, al hyphen apostrophe ud, or indeed the cult of romantic / chivalric love transmitted from Islam to the West by Sufis in Spain. Ireland's contacts with Spain certainly extend back into the Islamic period, and the so-called Black Irish may have as many Moorish as Castilian genes. Medieval Irish monks probably absorbed Sufism and Islamic philosophy along with the art of the illuminated manuscript. Witness the extraordinary stylistic resonance between the Book of Elves, E-E-L-L-S, and the Kufic, K-U-F-I-C, Korans, K-O-R-A-N-S, of Omayyad, Spain, O-M-A-Y-Y-A-D, Yad, Y-O-D, Yad, Y-A-D, the law of the one. This is awesome, everyone. As St. Francis could visit North Africa and come back to Italy wearing a Sufi's patched cloak, so the Irish might easily borrow from Egypt and Al-Andalus. And Big Will, here you got your answer. St. Francis of Assisi was a Sufi, and he visited North Africa. Big deal, everyone. And, the, you know, that's a big deal because Italy before the, in 10,000 BC, that was before Atlantis did their thing. And Italy was completely 100% connected, just like I said, to North Africa. There was no water between there. I'm looking at it right now. There's a whole bunch of rivers that come in from, on this map at 10,000 BC, we still see that there is water around Africa on one side, and I don't see the whole rest of the whole story, although India is already away from South Africa and has already impacted in the Himalaya regions. And there's this huge inner sea, though, at that time. It's called the Vilayat Sea. It's so huge. It travels from southern Russia, in the southern Ural Mountains of Russia, where on that northern coastland there are all these step pyramids, and that's where the Hyperboreans built their light cities, you might say, where they galactically just took on the cloak, like it says in the promise of the culture of the day, and just, you know, this is what this has been doing when we say that we've got 16 million galactic humans on the ground, everyone. This very promised thing, and they said that they did it en masse in 1991. They downloaded it all the way in. And that is when, you know, Bill Clinton formed a monarchy with Bush Sr. at that time. And knowing that that double agency has represented Nasara and the 14 members of Congress that stuck their necks out all the way, and one of them missing, Paul Wellstone. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let me just finish this. I know I'm getting... okay. Wow. Ireland's contacts with Spain certainly extend beyond into the Islamic period, and so-called Black Irish may have as many Moorish as Castilian genes. Medieval Irish monks probably absorbed Sufism and Islamic philosophy, along with the art of the illuminated manuscript. Witness the extraordinary stylish renaissance between the Book of Elves and the Kufic Korans of Umayyad, Spain, as St. Francis could visit North Africa and come back to Italy wearing a Sufi's patch cloak, so the Irish might easily borrow from Egypt and Al-Andalus. All speculation aside, the Moorish Orthodox Church entertains its own esoteric interpretation of Noble Drew Ali's teachings on these matters. We heartily endorse his elective affinity theory of affiliation with a greater spiritual Celto-Asiatic race. DNA counts for something, yet soul for a great deal more. Let's see, what's that say again? DNA counts for something, yet soul accounts for a great deal more. Every man and woman, their own vine and fig tree, one of Noble Drew Ali's slogans, is not a matter of fate, rather of character, not of birth, rather of choice. Yes, many are called, few choose. That's the difference. In our historical imaginative exegesis and unfolding of Noble Drew Ali's parable, we have uncovered a complex of heretical Islamic and Moorish cultural strands linking Celtic neo-paganism, esoteric Christianity, and the Arthurian cycle through Sufism and Masonry to the perennial libertarian struggle of the marginalized and oppressed peoples of the at Atlantic world. We propose to embody this poetic complex in a popular chivalric order, devoted symbolically to the cause of bringing the snakes back to Ireland. That is, of uniting all these mystical strands into one patterned weave, which will and shall restore the power of the synergistic or syncretistic power to the hearts of those who respond to the particular taste of its mix. We have borrowed the slogan from contemporary neo-pagans in order to symbolize the special mission our order will undertake toward Celtic Moorish friendship. And you know, I got to tell you, we're going to have to go back and pull up Barack Obama's bloodline, because he stated today that he's a black Irish Moor. That we're talking about him right here. Holy cow. Oh, this is just so deep. The Blackthorn League will be open to all, regardless of whether they are MOC members, Moorish occult, Celtic, I don't know, Moorish Celtic, Moorish Order of Celtic members, like that, or not, providing only that they support this particular goal. Black in our title signifies not only the black banners of the Moors, also the black flag of anarchy. Black thorn, because the tree symbolizes Druid Ireland and is used to make cudgels. League, in honor of the various Irish rebel groups which have symbolized as such. Other organizational models include such Masonic revolutionary groups as the Carbonari or Proud Hawns, Anarchists, Holy Vehm, H-O-L-Y and then capital V-E-H-M, or Bakunin's Revolutionary Brotherhood, that's Obaku, I'm sorry, B-A-K-U-N-I-N, apostrophe S, Bakunin's Revolutionary Brotherhood. We also emulate certain anarcho-Daoist Chinese tongs, T-O-N-G-S, such as the Chaos Society, C-H-A-O-S Society, and hope to evolve the kind of informal mutual aid web works they developed. The League will bestow the Order of the Black Thorn as title and honor, and will hold an annual conclave and banquet on St. Patrick's Day in memory both of Noble Drew Ali's vision and of those rioters of 1741 who conspired in low taverns to overthrow the state, bring the snakes back to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Hakeem Bey and ontological anarchy. I studied ontology for years. I think 8 years I studied ontology.
What's ontology?
It's the study of Velikovsky's works.
Oh.
Yes. I mean, we're getting into some deep stuff here. This is the story. This is the story.
Tara, there's something else I want you to share with us.
What is that?
What you wrote yesterday.
Yes,
oh,
LGN.
No.
There. Me, everybody, me and Marita and Tara and Rama are getting very excited about this new program, the Prosperity Program. And first I'd like Marita to come on and say a little bit about it for us. After this, everybody, then I have a special meditation for us to do together. Okay. I have been busy finishing up the website associated with this, and that is ready now. And I have added all of the information about the 777 Prosperity to, for those of you who have computers, to the galacticroundtable.com. You're going to see a new tab at the top. And you can click on that, and it will take you to the new website. Marita, are you available now?
I am. I'm back.
Marita, thank you.
Can you turn up your speaker really much louder because you sound...
No, I didn't have my mic on yet because I was just getting it set up here. So,
okay,
can you hear me now?
Thank you.
Yes, we can hear you.
Very good.
Okay, so what is it that you would like me to talk about?
I would like you to just tell everybody again about the new program, please.
Okay. I'm not very organized here. Let me just do it from memory. What I gave you for the website, I could pull that up here maybe and look at it if you give me just a minute.
Sure, no problem.
Why don't you go ahead and let Tara do hers first, and then I'll do mine here.
Sure, that's fine. Are you ready, Tara?
Oh, I've got it. I've got it here. It's
You've
okay.
got it? Okay, good.
Okay.
Okay, this is the program, the LGN program. You've heard us talk about this a lot on the conference calls. And when this was brought to me, it felt like it was enough different than anything we'd ever heard of that this was one that really could work. And it's... a way we can help each other to have more abundance, and it is called LGN. And the idea is that when we live in love, which is the L, and gratitude, which is the G, the universe then gives us nourishment, which is the N, so that we have love, gratitude, and nourishment. And we invite all of you to join us in one-time commitment of $2.99. Your responsibility, as we all take responsibility for what we're doing in these times, is to invite two other people and bring them into the program and help those two you bring in get there too. It only takes six. Yourself, the two you bring in, and then the two that each of those bring in, and now you have the six that you have in your team. That allows you to cycle. And when you cycle, you have $777 that comes back to you. What also happens is that you are put back into the matrix to cycle again. You don't have to pay anything more. There's nothing else that has to be done. The computer program automatically puts you back in the program, and you start all over again. Then as you, as those people invite more people to come in, since they were on your team, they will come back into your matrix and help you to cycle again. Many people are cycling once a week. Many more are, doing it twice a week. And there are some that are really working at this that are cycling several times one in every day. So, it just is a matter of how much you want to do with it, how much you want to work. And, of course, you are not obligated to do more than bring your two and help those two get there, too. However, if you would like it to cycle quicker and faster and have it replicate itself more and more, then I'm sure you'll want to share it with some of your other friends anyway. And this is a way that you can help the whole thing to keep moving. The major thing that's different in this system is that when there's an empty position in the matrix, let's say that someone is working on getting someone in there, but they just haven't done it yet, it isn't completed, and when that happens, someone above or below may be able to be put into that spot. And so that is how we help each other. However, I remind you, we do not wish to... shirk our responsibility and not do what we are to do to keep it going. We have on the website now, Beth has all of this up there. There's an explanation about our Stargate Recreation Center, and we have it here on our organic farm. There are a couple different places that you can join if you choose to help Stargate or the organic farm that we're doing our research with, nutrient-dense food, providing that for people. Tara and Rama have a URL there where you can join them. And then Beth has one also where you can join. So all of these are part of the system, and you can choose and read what each one of us have written there to try to explain a little bit about the program. So those are some of the basics. Is there anything, Beth, that I forgot that you'd like for me to remind people?
Well, I just want to say that I do owe a couple people emails that have been asking me about this, and I've been focusing all my time on getting the connection between the website set up and the server, and it's taken a large portion of my day for several days. And I also wanted to say that Marita and Tara and Rama and I have seen a lot of people signing up now, and we're getting very excited about the potential, not only for us, but also for everybody else. That's what's exciting about it. Back in December 10th was our first radio broadcast, and since then we started asking for donations, and that was necessary to get us started. And we put it out to the universe that we don't want to ask for donations, and we wanted something different, and we didn't know what it was. And this is what was brought to us, and it's very exciting. And Marita, people have been asking me, have we seen anyone cycle? And that's an important question to answer.
And yes, I know personally three people who have cycled. The very first, let's see, 2 weeks ago, this Saturday, this Saturday will be 2 weeks since the group that I started with cycled. I know that Michael, who brought this to us, he has cycled, and two people that he's working with have cycled. So we do know people right close with us here that have done it. And, of course, he talked to one of the men who started in December. This company is 2.5 years old. However, this program is a brand new program that only started the 1st of December. And in 3 months, December, January, February, they enrolled 10,000 people. In the first month, I think they paid out $1 million. So it is working, and it's this gentleman who started in December, he was working it full, you know, a lot, and he brought 12 people in. And he cycled 5 times the very first month. And that was before there were a lot of people in there. Now we have more people who we can help each other. But to begin with, in the very first month, he cycled 5 times, and he brought in 12 people. So that gives you some idea of what some have been able to do.
Well,
as far as looking at how people can get involved with this, some may not have access to the computer, and if you want to just listen to an explanation of it, there is an explanation at 641-715-3462. I'll repeat it one more time. 641-715-3462. The PIN code is 172231. Pound. And you can email me at stargatemarita@gmail.com, and I will send you something if you have questions. We can do it that way. But when you go, if you're on the computer, if you go to the site, and then as soon as you click on one of the URLs and decide that you're ready to join, I will tell you, you need to think about what you're going to call your site, because the only thing that can't be changed in all of your input information, you know, you can always change your address, your phone number, anything. Everything else can be changed except this one thing. What you're going to call your whatever you want to put in there, for it's called when you dial in, that's going to be your URL. For example, mine is stargate.lgnprosperity.com. Everybody's will be lgnprosperity.com. So you can have up to 10 letters. So think about that before you sign in, because that's the one thing that you can't change. So that would be if you're going in and kind of practicing, if you put it in, you're in there, and it won't give that to anyone else, but you can't change it. So then your password, you can make that whatever you want, and you can change it at any time. But what you're going to be using for your signing in, which is like Stargate is for me, that part can be up to 10 letters. And, for example, Taran Ramos is Amethyst, and Beth is GRT Prosper. So that'll give you some ideas. You know, you can make it anything you wish, but just remember that part you can't change. I pass the talking stick.
Thank you, Marita. I wanted to add about the information about people asking about us cycling. And if I remember correctly, I might be a little off, but I think Taran Rama and I signed up 3 weeks after you. And Tony D., who owns Welcome to Light, has also signed up around the same time as me. I think Tony D. and I should cycle this week, and we will keep you updated, and I'm not sure where Taran Rama are with that. And we'll keep you updated with that.
What was it you were asking? I'm sorry, Beth.
I don't know how close you two are to cycling, but you should be close.
I think we only need one more. I've been trying to get it filled. I think they need one more yet before they'll cycle. Maybe
we can just have a volunteer, and that means we'll cycle by this Friday, which means the following Friday we'll have $777. That would be just great.
The cutoff time is midnight on Friday night, and then it pays, it cycles on Saturday, and then the payout is 1 week after that. So it cycles on, finishes at midnight on Friday night, and that's the cutoff date. And then they run all the, you can understand with this many people, it takes a little while to run the computer program and to do that. So then they do that on Saturday, and then the following Saturday is when you have several different ways you can get paid. They can mail you a check. You can get a global cash card, which means it's just like a debit card that you can use it. And you can also leave money in there if you don't want it paid out right away. Let's say that you know you're going to have some other family members that want to join. And rather than have, if they didn't have credit cards or for whatever reason, you could take it out of your back office account and pay for their entry fees and let them give you the cash. That's another option. So there's a lot of different things we can do. And if it's necessary, you can mail your cashier's check or check in. But however, that's going to take a week longer. So there's a lot of options, but it's just a matter of how quickly you'd like to see it come around to you.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Thank you, Marita. That's great.
Well, I'll tell you, everyone, just on another note, I was just looking at WorldLink TV, and at 2:30 this coming morning, they're going to play this film. We saw it. So we just get 2:30.
The Corporation.
And it doesn't end until 7. So 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, 6:30. a 4.5-hour film, and we watched it at the college theater together.
Yeah.
With Guru Meet, our friend Guru Meet.
And Mark.
And Mark.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure Mark came to that.
Oh.
At that point. I'm just saying, yes, Marie.
I just want to remind, I got a couple emails already about, I wasn't very clear about the amount of money and how it comes back. $2.99 is what you put in. And when you cycle, the money that comes back is almost is over $1,000. But they take $2.99 of that to put you back into the system. So you end up in your pocket with $7.77. So that's how it is, a 2x2 matrix, what they call a 2x2. You come in, you bring two, and those two bring two, and when that comes back, it is over $1,000, but they take $2.99 to put you back into the system, but you pay out to you $7.77. So I didn't make that very clear, and I've got three emails here. So
that is really good, Marita Robert, that you explain that, because that means there's always money that you put in recycled, and that is where the perpetuity comes in, everybody. That is taking an existing structure and giving it a brand new use, and that means this is being done as a benefactors program, because where if there is no CEO, this is a cycle that is programmed, and it is to the number. It is exactly what the doctor ordered. And that's another thing that is a step forward from, well, Barack Obama, he's got this, what do they call it, insurance age, that program, KFG, which is, it didn't cost anything, and it's his benefactor's program from him receiving his blessings from the Sara. And it's scheduled when everybody else, what it means is, everybody gets their blessing at the same time, including the president. And that is how this is working all the way up to Saint Germain. And everybody else is not. And Saint Germain, I'm telling you, you better take that frown somewhere and don't show it anymore. To this moment, what does Saint Germain say? He says, I will never say, may God bless you. I will only say, may you pass every test. And that's the key, is because love prevails. And the ones that understand where love comes in for accountability, even on TV, you've got to see Hillary looking pretty sad and, you know, going through this. This is about the fourth or fifth major time where we've seen a look in her face that was absolutely unearthly, in the sense that that program, you know, was in malfunction in terms of the inability over time being programmed out of love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that painful, and a little child, you know, what happens sometimes is they get, you know, I remember Christopher, and he was putting his hand and getting ready to put it on the old-fashioned steamers. You know, they have the heaters with the water heaters in the old wooden.
Are you talking about the iron grates?
They sit in one side of the room.
Yeah, the radiators
we created this knowledge of this word hot instantaneously, very quickly. And yet, you know, those things are investigated in curiosity.
Baseboard heaters.
Well,
yeah.
No, they weren't baseboard heaters. They were the ones that were in the, they were upright, and they were
right.
In those.
They have them on the East Coast, but not here.
Yeah, Chicago in the cold.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that Why are we jumping to that? It's
I don't know.
Unless as we are as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom.
Uh-huh.
And I think we've decided that we can have fun with this now, and we're taking our power back, and we're already feeling the knowledgeableness of going forward and becoming Washita and making that group at the same time as we're doing this. And we're making the statements of, you know, what the Constitution really calls for is for knowledgeable citizens, because if they do say that, you know, we can quote unquote blame the media, yet that's not the truth. There's something called conscience and consciousness, and all of us are one with that. And that point of light within the mind of God is that point of all of us in terms of the active principle. That's why they call, without getting involved in general, without getting involved in gender, we're talking now about active and passive, receiving and giving. Active giving, it is in giving that we receive, provided we understand how to, because receiving involves the ability to love. And that is really what we have been asking for here, because now we can see there is enough of us that know how to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. And because Nasara has been in place long enough now, there are all kinds of things that have been access denied to the powers that be already. And now we're seeing all this new technology coming in at the same time.
Yeah.
My son called up about a wand, which is called the zero point energy wand. And, you know, I just got to tell you that Vancouver, where Michael is, on the east side, is the poorest and has the most homeless people in one place than all of the North American continent, everyone, in that little place. And he got a hold of this wand, and there was one of those beings that was a Vietnam vet, homeless, and getting gangrene in his feet and everything. And it completely went away after years and years, in about a month's time of applying this zero-point energy. Is there something I missed about that story, Beth?
I was going to say, I think the name of the company is the Omega Wand.
Right, yeah.
Omega Global.
Mm-hmm.
Omega Global. Zero Point. There's another one that's called Zero Point Global. They are of a nature whereby it rebalances your auric field, and it clears up any holes in the aura or any agitations, and it provides a space for your inner soul to be calm.
Mm.
This is the key.
That's where the healing comes from.
That is where the healing comes from. And you know what these people do is they just cry and cry and cry to see that there is magic. There really is magic.
Mm-hmm.
And the magic has always been science. It's always been that law of love never went away. No matter what it appeared, this is whole, that is whole, taking away whole from whole, whole still remains whole. Isn't that wonderful?
It is. Tara?
Yes. Should I read that thing now?
I really wanted you to read it because what you wrote is so good, but now I kind of want to save it just because we're going to be on the next four nights, and I really, really want to go into this meditation now.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Sure, that's just fine. I know what I want to do. I see if I thought, where did I put that paper? You printed something. I'm sorry, I'll let you go. It's past talking stick.
I'm excited, and I'm looking forward to hearing you say that, but just we're getting late, and I don't want to miss anything.
Okay, I found it. It's the other envelope, sorry. The one with all the jokes and everything.
Oh, you found it.
All right, I cast the talking stick. I'll find it later.
Cool, thank you. Hi, everybody. We're going to shift our attention a little bit. We've been talking about the news and everything, the teachings and exciting things, and now I want to shift gears a little bit and do a meditation. I had an experience yesterday that just blew my mind. First of all, I want to say that, and Tara and Rama, if you want to jump in on any of this, that's fine. You know, lately I've been feeling like it's been necessary to transmute the negative energies, and I've been glued to the news, and I've been crying every single day, you know, just a little bit, but I've been very tuned in to the children that are being tortured and the bombs that are dropping and the people that are hungry and the people that are homeless, and I've had it on my mind deeply for many, many days, really focusing on that. And folks have been talking about the equinox, and I've kind of ignored it because I was so into this now moment, being soaked up with all the issues that we're dealing with. Nobody has a job, and people are sick, and they can't get health care, and, you know, Sexgate is out there, and the reason these things are coming to our attention is because it's important that we pay attention to them and that we bring them into our heart and feel the pain that that brings up, and then transmute it through our bodies and let it release it, come above the human condition and realize what it is, praise, respect, thank and love it, and let it go. And that's how we get closer each moment to world peace. And so I've been very much focusing on this lately, even to the point where it's been hard to relax. And so I knew we would not experience first contact or disclosures as long as I was feeling this way. I've always been certain that I would know when those things were coming because I would be experiencing bliss and ecstasy on a regular basis leading up to it. In other words, I think as we transmute these things and we come closer to the point of zero point, the happiness will be palpable even before we see the first ship. And yesterday, Tom the Ringtail Cat, Pashat, came to me and he invited me on a special trip. I had a conversation some time ago with Rama, and I was asking him about his father, Ashtar. And I asked him, you know, where does he come from? I wanted to know what planet does he come from. And Rama said, he comes from a planet called Ashtar. And I said, oh. And I didn't ask much more about that. I just stuck it back in my memory. And so yesterday, Tom invited me to go to the planet Ashtar. And we went with a group, Metatron and Tar and Rama and Tom and Ashtar and Sananda were there too. And this was an incredibly deep experience. It was maybe the most loving experience I've had, remembering another faraway planet. And to be the home of Lord Ashtar is a moving, ecstatic experience. And I wanted to bring the memory into a meditation and share it with everybody. Rama, is there anything you want to add about this place?
Only that this place, it is like filling up and spilling over.
Mm-hmm.
I found my little, it's four lines, and it was something that one of our brothers here, Byron, sent. And it's four lines, and I thought maybe as you're getting ready, everyone, to settle in for this meditation, I could read that, and then we could let you go do that. Is that okay, Ben?
The last time you said that, it was 25 minutes later.
No, this is just four lines.
Okay.
Okay, ready, everybody? Take a deep breath, and let's go here. This is.
Wait, before you start, Tara. Yeah. I want to say, everybody, there's going to be a healing during this meditation, and I'm going to take you very deep. And if you feel like moving to some place where you can lay down, that would be good. Okay, go ahead, Tara.
Okay, this is deep. Consciousness precedes thought. Thought precedes expectation. Expectation precedes perception, and perception is, capital I, capital S, the reality that you live.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. My water jug. All right, everybody. So I didn't write all of this down. I usually write these meditations, and I read them to you, and I'm going to kind of be making this up as I go. And this is more from a memory than from a writing. When you come to the planet Ashtar, the thing that strikes you the most is that you can remember what home feels like. You can remember the bliss and the ecstasy of love in this place. It's incredible. Okay, everybody, if you can get into a comfortable place and take a deep breath and allow your breathing to slow down and get very comfortable, we're all going together in a large Merkava. We're floating out through the stars, and we're going to float up and out. Allow yourself to take some deep breaths and relax. When we come to the planet Ashtar, the very first thing we see is a forest. And in this forest are very, very tall, old trees. And we're going to come to the planet and we'll land on the floor of this forest. And the ground is very soft and it's emerald green. Everything is green. And there's this soft green moss covering everything amongst this thin, silky, soft green grass. And you look up into these trees, and they're hundreds of feet tall, but there's not many leaves on them. And you can see the sky above, and you can see that it's a sunny day, and plenty of sunlight falls into the forest floor. And when you look up, you're stunned by how tall the trees are. And you can be as natural as you'd like here in this forest. And I would like for you to please lay on the forest floor. It's very soft, and the emerald green moss is under you, and there's silky soft grass. And when you look up, you're looking at these tall, tall, tall trees. And you feel the grass softly brushing against your skin. And you feel it caressing you. And the soul of the trees connect to you. Not one tree, but all of the trees. And it washes you with love. and you start to feel floaty, ecstatic, joyous bliss fills your whole body. Take in slow breaths and allow the love to soak in. Relax your face and relax your mouth and breathe. Allow yourself to be deeply relaxed here. Now I want you to place both of your hands on your heart. And how you're going to do this is take your right hand and put it over your sternum. Put it diagonally across your chest. And you're going to use your right hand to cover the top of your heart, the apex of your heart. And then I want you to take your left hand and put it on your left side by your ribs. And ladies, you might have to lift up your chest a little and get your hand nestled under there. And hold your heart between your two hands. And you're laying there on the forest floor and you're looking up and you see the sky and the sun and you feel so much love here. And as you place your hands around your heart, you're going to take into your thoughts all the things that have been bothering you lately in the news, and if you have money worries, or if you are dealing with an illness, or if you have relationship issues with a friend or your family. And with your two hands holding your heart, you're going to let all of the worries you've been holding on to float out your back. Bring everything into your heart and let it flow out of your back down into the ground. And it soaks into the soil as a sponge. And as this is happening, what you're going to feel is the molecules of peace and the molecules of love from all the life here. The life force here is love, and it will float into your body and it will fill up all the spaces where those worries were drained from. And your whole body fills up with love and the worries are completely gone. And you feel peace. And you take in some slow breaths. You smell the green earth here. It's peaceful. You look into the trees. And it's wonderful here. When you're ready, open your eyes again. And wrinkle your toes, because we're going to get up and go for a walk and do some exploring here on the planet Ashtar. So we're going to walk in the forest a little while, and we come upon this huge old tree. And long ago, the bottom part of it was carved out, and you can walk into the tree trunk. It's been completely dried out. And it's over your head. And you can look up inside this old tree trunk. And you notice that it's a portal. It's a bark tunnel portal. And you slide down it like a slide. And you slide down to the bottom and you come out at a waterfall. And the water is calling to you. And the temperature is perfect. And the sun is shining bright. And you decide to become the water. And you jump into midair and you become very small. And in midair, you turn into a water droplet. And as a water droplet, there is a rainbow where the sun shines on you. That's Sananda. He's going on your journey with you. And you jump into the waterfall. And there are other water droplets and they brush against you. And the bubbling water sounds all around you and you're giggling. And every time a water droplet brushes you, there is a transference of love. And the water droplets say, I love you, I love you, every time one brushes against you. And you're washed in love and bubbling around in the water and the sun. And you come out of the water at the sandy shore, which is covered in soft, round pebbles. And you feel the elemental spirits from the little pebbles sending love into your body through your feet. You sit to catch your breath and enjoy the hot sun sitting on the rocks drying off. And remember, everybody, this is Ashtar's home where he comes from, and it's magical, and it's so filled with love. You decide to head back, but first the stars are calling. You float up to the sky because you're going to get ready to return home. And you float up and up and up into the sky, and you stretch your fingertips up and reach to touch the stars. And as they each light up as twinkle stars each time you touch one of them. And you fly through the stars, and as a ball of light, come back into the room and softly, softly float back into your body. Take some deep breaths, and when you are ready, open your eyes. I just love that. I hope you enjoyed it, everybody. It's a magical, magical place, and I just had to share it with you because these are the ones we're working with, and this is where Ashtar comes from, and it's amazing to connect with that energy. Thank you. I pass the talking stick.
We're getting the experience of manifesting we are our brother's keeper.
Yeah.
We really are.
I'm a little out there.
A little floaty. Well, what else was I going to talk about?
Well, I have another one that's just 2 pages.
And okay, Tara. Good.
This is okay. It's got here, there are many. This is called African Roots of Ireland. Ogu. Anu.
Say that again, Tara.
This is the Gaelic. My father could speak Gaelic. O-G-U-E-J-I-O-F as in Frank O. That's the first word.
Say it 3 times fast, Tara.
Oguijiofo, 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 Anu.
Much better.
Okay, the Fomorians. There are many oblique references to the presence of black people in ancient Ireland. Ancient Irish mythology refers to the original inhabitants of the island as being a giant, sea-faring people called the Fomorians, or the Fomors, which means dark of the sea. According to the ancient lore, they were a Cushitic, C-U-S-H-I-T-I-C, people from the African continent. Often depicted as demons, they defeated the first few incoming waves of invaders, yet could not defeat the Firbolgs, F-I-R-B-O-L-G-S, who settled the land and lived side by side with the native Fomors, or Fomors, you know, M-O-R-S.
These are some of the magical kingdoms.
Oh, it's just amazing. Those myths may have a factual, historical basis. It is proposed that
the fairy lords and the elven lords.
That the Fomorians were a real people who were in all likelihood sailors from the African continent. two more invasions, the first led by the godly Tuatha De Danaan.
Right. Yeah,
hey,
Tuatha.
We just read about the Dan people.
Right.
Magdalene. Oh, no. That's the Babylon. Remember the Babylon Beth, the story?
You guys brought up elves, and it brought up a question for me, and that's really bothering me, but I don't even know if I should say it.
Well, come on. Well, just hit the best shot you got.
I was watching Dennis today, and I couldn't help but wonder if he's an elf. He looks so much like an elf.
I think so. That wife of his.
Dennis Kucinich, an elf? I think so.
What do you say? I know he's
they're
from
Andromedans.
Yeah.
And my understanding is they're Andromedan ambassadors. Maybe they are elven folk on that home world. I don't know.
Well, I'll just tell you that there were Andromedans in Egypt.
Yeah.
And that's on the North African continent there, and they're saying that they came from there. So roots go back
there. Well, my man Bam is from there, too.
That's right.
I'll just say there are very large elven lords hanging all over this continent, and that one and all the rest of them.
He has elvish eyes.
Well, I just want to say that he's captured some stuff there, and it's good to hear the debate. What I was saying here is that the first, two more invasions. The first led by the godly Tuatha De Danaan, D-A-N-A-A-N. And those are the people of the Celts in their origins in the Middle East. And this has a connection with Zoroastrianism, too, which we got to read next. But anyway, this is all prophet stuff. Okay. And the second by the Celtic Milesians, M-I-L-E-S-I-A-N-S, took control of Ireland, mixing together with the Fomorians until they were no more. Huh. There are credible sources for the African association with Ireland. The most likely of these is that they were Phoenicians and Egyptians. The Phoenicians were Canaanites, which came from the line of Ham. And Ham is from the land of Shemite, which is on the African continent back there in 10,000 BC, where it says Tiberia.
Isn't that to do with Noah?
Yes, and Shem was his son, and Shem was Melchizedek, and that means he was on the ray of the order of Melchizedek, of which Shield and Sherula and Telosians and Ancient Mu are all the same line.
I always know the answer, and I always love to hear you say it again.
I know, all the way back to antimatter in the Pleiades. Don't mess with the textbooks. Oh, my God, this guy is going to town.
Right.
Mr. John Stewart, these guys are educated.
Thomas Jefferson is one of the ones that he said it all.
Oh, I mean, these guys are really having fun, even when Tom Hartman is listening to someone that is really getting on his nerves. He gets right, you know, he'll wait till the storm is over, and then he'll play a little music, and then he'll come back, and he'll tell you where the bear really sleeps in the woods and what the facts are. Mm-hmm. And it is hysterical. So here, let's back to these facts. Okay. The Phoenicians were Canaanites, which came from the line of Ham, from the land of Shem, on the African continent. Ham is the mythological ancestor of the entire black nation. The Phoenicians were also well known for their sailing skills and are said to have traveled to the British Isles, which they called the Tin Islands, perhaps before Ireland was a Celtic domain, which it was not until a few centuries B.C., the Phoenicians colonized it. It is noteworthy that the name Fomorians sounds a bit like Phoenicians. Yes, it does. There is also a legend that an Egyptian princess, here we go, Mary Poppins / Skota, left Egypt with some followers and journeyed to Ireland. Legend has it that Egyptians left many ancient tin mines all over Britain, yet especially Ireland, which was their major source of the valuable metal. Another idea is that they were Tuareg Berbers, T-A-U-R-E-G, Berbers. That's connection with Spain again, and the Spanish Wars, Sufis and all that. The Berber language is Hamitic, and the Berber people live in an area from which travel to Ireland would be easily accessible. As a matter of fact, that land that is coming up off of the coast of Spain is Berber land from the time of Atlantis. Mm-hmm. And the Berbers were all of Gaul, which was, I mean, France and Spain, all this huge piece. We got to go back and understand all of our relatives. Okay, wait a minute. Let me just finish a section here. Where was it? The Berber, okay, so the Tuareg Berbers, the Berber language. Yes, Beth.
Before you go to the Tuareg Berbers, can we maybe take a question from Big Will? Let him interject here.
Of course. Hello, Big Will, Commander. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Big Will.
There you are.
Hi there. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, my question is this. What is President Obama really going over to Asia for? That is my question.
I think it's where the bear sleeps in the woods.
I think he's going to grab people by the scruff of the neck and toss them.
Oh, you betcha.
We're cleaning house now. You're either with us or you're fly off the boat.
You're duck soup.
Duck soup.
Yes. Get your bib and your fork and your bowl. Another idea is that they were Tuareg Berbers.
Rama, you probably have a more intelligent answer than what we said.
Well, Rama?
I will just say... yeah, you're going to need a bib. This is going to get...
Time for orc stew.
This is going to be like eating ribs.
Well, don't...
You get it on ya.
Oh, Rob. No. Now. We're going to love them even more. We're
I understand.
Mimic them.
And it's... Thank you. I'm passing it up to the highest.
Big Will can... Can you please not get us in trouble like that again? Come on.
Okay.
You knew the answer anyway, didn't you?
I will just say what Obama is going to be doing over in Asia probably is talking about the next step, which is called time to dismantle the nukes.
Oh, yes, because you remember I said that earlier when Biden went over there. All that Netanyahu was going to talk about was doing Iran up, a new upside
right.
down and forward.
Okay, wait. I got to jump in on this because I didn't get to say my 2 cents before about this.
Oh, okay.
Thanks. We have two articles on the Galactic Roundtable today about the Stargates, and one of them is, explaining how the CIA and the Obama administration are two different entities, and that it was, Hillary Cheney Bush who demolished the World Trade Center to get us into fake wars in Pakistan, in Iraq, and in Afghanistan. And the reason for that was the Stargate. And now we hear today that Now we hear today that Israel is broke, just like everybody else. That's not big news. The reason they're broke is because the King of Swords men.
Well, yeah, you just got lost for a while.
The reason Israel is broke, along with the UK and Spain and France and Greece and Korea and the United States and anyone else you want to put on the list would be correct. Russia, Georgia, you can go around the world. The reason they're broke is because the King of Swords men went in and did electronic transfers from the bank accounts, the Swiss bank accounts of the 13 families, and took back the money and deposited it in the Bank of Saint Germain. Now everybody's broke, including Israel. And Joe Biden goes over there. And guess what else is happening in Israel that they never talk about? In Jerusalem, the Dome of the Rock is fully open.
Right.
The Stargate is open. Okay, so yesterday Nancy Pelosi goes over there, and they say to her, "Girlfriend, if you can get this baby rolling, we can bust out of this and we'll come back again and we'll be strong and we'll take over. And if you don't, we're washed up because Mother Sekhmet's coming. Saint Germain's coming and we're wiped out. So get this baby rocking." So they brought her and they put the ring on and they dialed it up and they tried and tried and tried and nothing happened. Because it only works in the presence of love. So now Joe Biden at the same time is in Israel. What do you think they're doing there? They see the Dome of the Rock is fully open. They know they can't hide it anymore. They know that they're broke. And it's all about the Stargates. That's what I wanted to interject. Thank you.
I just wanted to separate these two Stargates out. It was a Baghdad Stargate that is the Stargate of Ishtar that Nancy Pelosi was, you know, present with the possibility of coding it in.
And, right.
And the other place...
the Dome of the Rock is in Jerusalem.
That's right. I just wanted
Right, thank you. And if one more person tells me that this story is about apartment buildings, the West Side, I'm going to freak because I don't want to talk about that anymore. It's about the Stargate. About that. That's it.
And it's also about completely ethnically cleansing the Palestinians right out of existence.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
Completely. Completely. And the entire story of Persia, it all goes back to these African roots. And that was the last thing they ever wanted to do on Earth.
So Hillary Clinton's on the news again this morning, you know, telling everyone, well, they're not calling her back on the phone, and she doesn't understand why they're acting up at this time to embarrass us about those apartment buildings anymore. And I don't want to talk about that anymore because it's just the fake news and it's just a diversion.
Oh, my.
Okay, let's continue then. Can we go on now?
Oh, I hope Big Will got his question answered.
Oh, Big Will, I'll just tell you that the King of Swords and Saint Germain are in charge. And wherever Barack goes there, he's reading the Riot Act to everybody.
Yeah, we're doing the switchover now.
They all showed their southern ends real royally. And it was really the last play for Israel to dismantle their connection with this side of the fence. Ha, 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 ha. That's
oh,
it.
Oh, my God.
And a bunch of pedophile priests to boot. It's all.
Right.
And a bunch of hundreds and hundreds of different nuns, orders, and churches and all that. They all step down and say, sorry, we depart from this Vatican rag to support what's going on, the right to life. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
The divine feminine inside that church doing something that really needed to be done again.
Because we're bringing it back to love now.
Yes.
Okay, so here we go again. I'll just go over this a little more. Okay, so there is also a legend that an Egyptian princess Golda left Egypt with some followers and journeyed to Ireland. Legend has it that Egyptians left many ancient tin mines all over Britain, yet especially Ireland, which was their major source of the valuable metal. Another idea is that they were Tuareg Berbers. Mm. The Berber language is Hamitic, and the Berber people live in an area from which travel to Ireland would be easily accessible. The Berbers perhaps set sail from western Morocco and settled on Ireland before the Celts, making it their new home. Moorish Science Temple founder Noble Drew teaches that Ireland was once part of the Moorish Empire and that the Irish are a Moorish people. Perhaps there is a common root between the Moor sound in Fomor and the word Moor. Another Irish legend tells that of the Selkies, S-E-L-K-I-E-S, a sort of Werish seal, W-E-R-E-S-E-A-L, so something from the sea, right?
Mm-hmm.
A silky, those are magical beings, I know that. That is a seal during the day and a human by night. This is the movement period between being sea humans and being land humans, the Trinitarian period. We were fish people.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just telling you. Sometimes in an Irish family of fair-skinned, light-haired people, a child is born with dark hair and dark eyes and
That's
skin.
That's an anomaly, kind of.
And is called a silky.
Right.
S-E-L-K-I-E. The concept of the Selkies appears to make subliminal reference to the half-breed children that resulted from the extensive miscegenation that occurred between the Celts and the dark-skinned original inhabitants that they had met upon their arrival in Ireland. Many people of Irish descent have distant and recent African roots, and these features can still be seen in the people and in the culture. There are some Irish people with afros, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly like Andre the Giant, a late continental European a wrestler with afro hair.
Right.
In southern Ireland, some people referred to as Black Irish are noted for their strikingly dark features as opposed to the fair-skinned, light-haired North. Although many Irish descendants are particularly pale, they do have pronounced Africoid facial features, as well as dark brown eyes and dark brown hair that is short and sort of kinky, especially in moist conditions. A subrace of the Irish called the Bronn, B-R-O-N-N, are noticeably Mediterranean in features. That means African in features, especially their hair. In addition to all of this, Celtic music is distinctly different from the rest of Europe and easily comparable to African music. Unlike Scotland and England, Ireland was never colonized by the Romans. As a result, Ireland remained relatively isolated and likely safe for some moment. The Vikings established port cities like Dublin. Oh, the Viking texts left stories and descriptions of African soldiers captured in Ireland, whom they called Blaumen or Blue Men, B-L-A-U-M-E-N. Most Viking references to black in Norse would have signified having black hair as opposed to skin color, yet Blaumen meant black-skinned. Most of these Blaumen were captured soldiers from Moorish Spain. It was observed that, quote, a prominent Viking of the 11th century was Thor Hall, who was aboard the ship that carried the early Vikings to the shores of North America. Thor Hall was the huntsman in summer, and in winter, the steward of Eric the Red. He was, it is said, a large man, and strong, black, and like a giant, silent, and foul-mouthed in his speech. Whoops. And always, that F word, egged on Eric to the worst. He was a bad Christian, unquote. Another Viking, more notable than Thor Hall, was Earl Thor Finn, T-H-O-R-F-I-N-N. The other was T-H-O-R-H-A-L-L. The most distinguished of all the earls in the islands, Earl Thor Finn. Thor Finn ruled over 9 earldoms in Scotland and Ireland and died at the age of 75. His widow married the King of Scotland. Oh my. Thorfinn was described, then we get to Mary Queen of Scots and the Tudors, going back to those giants, actually. Which brings in St. Germain and Elizabeth I being a Moor.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother being a black Moor. Oh my God. Thorfinn was described as one of the largest men in point of stature, and ugly, sharp featured, and somewhat tawny, and the most martial-looking man. It has been related that he was the foremost of all his men, unquote. Quote again, any comprehensive account of the African presence in Europe, early Europe, must include England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and Scandinavia. The history and legends of Scotland confirm the existence of purely black people. We see one of them in the person of Kenneth the Niger, or the Niger, N-I-G-E-R. Hey, Big Will, maybe he's related to Liger. During the 10th century, Kenneth the Niger ruled over 3 provinces in the Scottish Highlands. You know, there's an African country called Niger everywhere, and that's where that whole weapons of mass destruction that Joe Wilson went and dispelled, that they had yellow cake there and that they had sold it to Saddam Hussein, and that he had delivery systems and everything that could deliver his weapons of mass destruction to downtown London in 45 minutes, according to a San Diego student of the University of Southern California that Tony Blair stole to get himself in a noose with joy.
You know, Tara, Mother Sekhmet's right when she says we're all going to laugh about this. That how did we ever buy any of this?
She always says best soap opera in town. All right, let's finish this. I've got a few more sentences. Oh, my fur and whiskers, mother. Any comprehensive account of the African presence in early Europe must include England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and Scandinavia. The history and legends of Scotland confirm the existence of, quote, purely black people. We see one of them in the person of Kenneth the Niger. During the 10th century, Kenneth the Niger. 10th century! That's the time of the Moors, we got to get that Vladimir schedule on there. We got to read that part. And
that
we got
1460.
I mean, these are all lifetimes of Saint Germain: Vladimir the Impaler, Dracula, what's his name, Comte de Saint Germain. At the time of France in the 18th century, he never died, you know, not to mention Sir Francis Bacon and a few more in between there. Alfonso, this guy was a Franciscan. I can't imagine why, when Franciscans came from the house of Ham, and who was a Shemite of the order of Melchizedek of the ancient land of Moon. The cow jumped over the moon. You know that Nut and Jeb in Egyptian mythology, which is not a myth.
Well, Nut is the goddess of the sky.
And she is in a moon-like position over Jeb, who is of the earth. And, of course, that's the active principle of the seed coming together with, you might say, what that, remember what I just read?
Well, you know, Jeb lays in repose under his twin flame, Nut, the goddess of the sky. And he is the black soil, and he is the story of the gold.
And the Kemet, the children of the...
Exactly.
Melanin is monoatomic gold in the brain cells of the pineal gland, and we can bring that through opening our third eye. Why? Because it goes into that black sky, and it draws the cosmic light from inside that black hole of the holy grail of Mother's womb space of creation. To receive that seed of the Kemet, of the children of the sun, of the children of the monoatomic gold, of that movie. What was that movie again?
The Golden
Compass. And she had 12 different things, symbols on that compass. And the configuration was follow that triangulation in the sky. And she did, and she rode on a white polar bear.
Yeah.
What does that mean? She went to the North Pole. What was she pointing to? She was pointing about the true story of Hyperborea, which is the story before there was ice there. It's the story of the ancient Kemet when the land of Pangaea was all one crescent moon shape. It's the same shape in the middle of the Pacifica Ocean in the west. That's the true story of how that land mass was designed to be receiving the divine creation of the Adam Kadmon of the seed of Jeb into the sky being of Nut.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, do we get it? It's beyond the color of the skin. It's beyond that. It's beyond that.
It's the cosmic rays.
Exactly.
It's the monoatomic elements coming in down from the cosmic rays into our crown, into the pineal gland.
Yes, ma'am. This is just a piece of cake, isn't it, everybody? Do we get it yet? Hello? I got to read one more thing, too, before I... It's 9:37, but let me finish this last sentence. Where did my... Commander. Oh, there it is, right there. All right, let's finish this. Let's see, where were we? Okay. The history and legends of Scotland confirm any comprehensive account of the African presence in early Europe must include, yes, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and Scandinavia. The history and legends of Scotland confirm the existence of purely black people. We see one of them in the person of Kenneth Niger. During the 10th century, Kenneth the Niger ruled over three provinces in the Scottish Highlands. Those are the same highlands that Peter Caddy was directed to go to and plant a garden way up on the Scottish Highlands. They're called sometimes the Scottish Moorlands. Moorlands. Here we go again.
Mm.
Exactly. Because it was hot temperate. It was a beautiful garden. And the children of the sun with their blue-black skin were that people. Right then and there. The history and legends of Scotland confirm the existence of the purely black people. We see one of them, yes. Okay, the historical and literary traditions of Wales reflect similar beliefs. According to Gwyn Jones, perhaps the world's leading authority on the subject, to the Welsh chroniclers, the Danes coming in by way of England and the Norwegians by way of Ireland were pretty well all black. Black Gentiles, black Norsemen, black host, H-O-S-T, Ogu, E-G, Ofo, Anu, E-N. Isn't that awesome? Hello?
I was muted out. I'm sorry. Yes, it is awesome.
Okay, the last thing I wanted to read is that I got this other wonderful thing. It's a handbook for 2010. It's one page.
Okay, cool. Just let me slip something in here for a second.
Yes.
I didn't get a chance to tell everybody. I got an email from Grand God Lily, and she has sent me all the information we've been waiting for.
Who?
I've also been chatting with Debbie Dubois, and there should be some more information following that. So now that I got the website finished today, tomorrow I will be adding to the tab called Becoming Ouachita a lot more information. But that's not the only thing I wanted to tell you. On Sunday, we've been talking about Grand Goddess Lily and how on April 14th to April 17th, they're having a summit and they're having a gathering, and they are going to have those from the Ouachita Nation gathering from all over the world. And the purpose of it is they are looking to regain this, the sterling silver rights, the gold rights, and the mineral rights of all the lands around the world that belong to the Ouachita. And in order to do that, they have to have regular meetings, and that's what this is about. And I know almost nothing about it, but Grand Goddess Lily said if we come to the Sunday call, then it's what she'll be talking about then. So I'm going to also post that information on the website, too. So it's just becoming more interesting.
It certainly is. We are going home, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really are. Well, this is a perfect thing to read after you telling us that, because spiritual freedom is what we're really talking about here. Peace is spiritual. It's the full love, truth, and wisdom in action. Three in one, violet flame, you know, of Saint Germain. That main alchemical dude that represents the active principle of, you might say, socialism, because we are all one. It's an absolute oxymoron not to do that, where we are all one and we are not owners, we are stewards of the land. That's the main teaching about forming a foundation, by the way, everybody.
Mm.
It has to do with not owning anything, yet taking responsibility for what you are stewarding with your blessings, which means that you are here to receive for that purpose and that purpose alone, which means you give it all away. And creating this cycling process that we're talking about with this LGN, love, gratitude, nourishment, recycling our being, and continuously recognizing this is not about collecting and accumulating wealth. This is about already knowing that we are infinitely wealthy. And what did Saint Germain say as Sir Francis Bacon? He said, prosper the land, prosper the people. Cottage industries, everyone. And bringing those galactic assistances. What did you say, that group that came in just recently?
They're from the Boots constellation, and they're green.
And they're green and they're big.
They're big.
Is that like the Jolly Green Giant?
More like like the Hulk, but they are
bringing in more peas.
P-E-A-C-E. Yeah.
With black hair and coal black eyes.
Right.
And green skin. My goodness. You know, I even read that in one of these things. Oh, in the Babylon Stargate.
Mm-hmm.
That there were tones of not just blue, black, green, black.
Yeah.
Yes. It's so beautiful. Anyway, this handbook of 2010 is pretty much paralleling the order of Ma'at and the teachings of balance, because now we're going out of competition, which is always the pyramid where there's a constant race and scratching to be the top dog and dictate something of the underlings below, you understand. Hierarchy of that misnomer, whereby now you just form the part of the whole, and the whole and the part are identical, where you are completely blissful to do the function that creates this interplay and interchange and continuous presence. You know, this is not accumulation. It is a cooperation where all life freely flows without impediment. And the inner peace without impediment has a handbook. And this is called the Handbook 2010. May I read this, Lady Master?
Please, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, health. Number one, drink plenty of water, good water. Number two, eat breakfast as a king, lunch as a prince, and dinner as a beggar. Eat more foods that grow on trees and plants, and eat less foods that are manufactured in a different kind of plant. Four, live with the three E's, energy, enthusiasm, and empathy. Five, make time to pray every day, to meditate. Six, play more games with family and friends. And I liked what you said, Beth, about this is a game. It's a game that we have. And it's
it really, really is.
And it's got to be fun, and it's got to be not about money, and it's all those things. It's about doing this together and helping the whole world.
Well, it's like when you're a child and you wish you could have something and you close your eyes, and the next thing you know, it's there.
Absolutely, and there's nobody on top and no totem poles, no more.
Mm-mm.
We're all in a circle, equally in the circle, as a rotating council of 12, where we completely fill in all the gaps should there appear to be a gap in the mathematics of the next step. And that's exactly built into that program. That is the change, and that's dramatic. It would never be possible before now with these guys with their hands tied and can't do anything anymore about it. Stand in our power and be that universe. Okay, play more games. Yes, read more books than you did in 2009. That's a good idea. You should see some of these books. They're just amazing. Eight, sit in silence for at least 10 minutes each day. It is good to have your time alone. 9, sleep for 7 hours. 10, take a 10 to 30 minute walk daily. And while you walk, smile. 11, for the personality.
I have to add something to that.
What?
When you walk, sing.
No, I guess so.
That's what I do.
Oh. I was caught singing in the mountains in Norway on the way down to the fjord to get in the waterfall at the crack of dawn.
Who caught you, a troll?
What?
Yeah. Oh, did a magical creature catch you?
No. You know, goats started following you because they, you could hear the goats too because they had.
I knew it was something like that.
They had bells around their necks and they would go around eating the blackberries and then you'd be singing and all of a sudden they're following you down the path.
Who else would be in Norway at dawn with you but goats and a troll?
I don't know. There were you have to understand it was 4:30 in the morning when we got up and started the walk.
Of course, it's when the sun's coming up.
Well, between 4:30 and 6:30 in the morning is the it's the law of supply and increase for the planet Earth. Those are the hours that Mother Earth regenerates her body, her whole physical body.
It's the most fun time to go outside because you soak in the energies of the day that are coming.
Believe me, and I got in there naked in under the waterfall in those waters, fjord waters, 400 miles north of Oslo.
Wow.
As the sun is coming up and you really do get purple skin. And you can be meditating out on the edge of the water after you're done with that for an hour without being cold, stark naked.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It is totally cool, and it's just amazing. And you know the Norwegian people, they do this too. When I was in Norway and in Sweden, the Swedish people in the Bering Strait and all of that, they make ice holes in the winter. And they jump in, and they use them as plunge pools, and they have saunas and steam baths right on the edge of, you know, natural ones like caves and everything. And they get in there, and then they get out, and they get in those icy cold waters. It's just outrageous. This lady, Lena Christina Vandenmark is her name. And she studied with Wilhelm Reich. And this is, you know, he's the father of psychology. And I had a visit from him through a being from New York who came to Maui and brought an angel named Ia from the blue planet, which is the planet where we did this experiment in antimatter, the fifth planet from Alcyone, the great central sun. Where we were in the garden in the Pleiades.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, everybody, this is all real. This is so real.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me get too carried away here. Let's go back.
Wait a minute. You said somebody caught you singing at dawn, going into the river.
Yes. There were others that were travelers up there. I mean, from the land all around us, that means that there were others. You know, we have to also realize that this was a Baha'i group of people that had come onto this land. It had a 100-room old, 400-year-old inn with 400 acres of farmland, all organic farm produce, with 26 Baha'i families living there and bringing people from all over the world and people who had something to teach, like Peter Caddy from Findhorn. And I'm just talking about, you know, Peter Caddy came. We brought Peter Caddy to Maui, to the Lemurian Foundation in Maui on the Kihei side.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're talking about Ashtar on the Road, Susan Leland and Lady Master Elise and all of them, wherever they are starting the new Lemurian Foundation in Maui. I'm just trying to tell you something. That the whole Findhorn tradition and singing, that's what they were told to do, was sing. And they formed a group called the Troubadours. And they traveled all over the world. And they sang songs and translated songs in all kinds of languages all over the world. And then there was the pole. What were those? Those peace poles. That's another.
Right.
Our friend, what's his name again? up there in Canada. Mm. He was head of the Peace Pole Society. It was started in Japan. And he,
what's a peace pole, Tara?
Okay, it's a pole that has a crystalline formation. It's carved and it's in every language. It's for world peace. And people do ceremony and they plant them on their land all over the world. And what was his name? I got to go look that up again. This is unbelievable.
Oh.
This is going back all the way to Canada, back to the 70s.
Yeah.
And he organized 10,000 people to come to LA. And he brought children's choirs, and from all over the world, there were all these children from every country in the world, and they performed their local dance and prayers for peace, every
That's
language.
So cool.
This is something that started at the World Symposium on Humanity, everybody. The Rainbow Rose gatherings and the festivals. And I'm just saying these things were all started from that World Symposium on Humanity, and it has never ended. And we have been learning about ourselves in varying degrees. Well, you know, how many of the yuppie puppies that didn't continue what they had as flower children, and we had to come to our senses in the midst of what we got ourselves into. And these things, thank God. You know, if all these teachers didn't come over from India at influx at that period of time, we could have been duck soup. I'm not kidding, because the ancient wisdom was pretty much cut off from this part of the world due to, you know, destroying the ability for their ancestors to pass on their teachings by taking the children of the ancient Moors of this land. And then putting them into white schools and white Christian Catholic convents, you know, places, and turning them into priests and nuns and turning them into pedophiles. Oh, my heavenly days.
Mm.
Anyway, we all had to experience it on both sides of the fence. So this is where these are ancient teachings of Ma'at, of Mother, of Moor, of the motherland, of Mu. Anyway, it translated in a very, very wonderful way here. So do not compare your life to others. This is under the issues of personality. You have no idea what your journey is all about. 12, do not have negative thoughts or things you cannot control. Instead, invest your energy in the positive present moment. 13, do not overdo. Keep your limits.
Mm-hmm.
14, do not take yourself so seriously. No one else does. Let's laugh at ourselves, please. 15, do not waste your precious energy on gossip. 16, mm-hmm. dream more while you are awake. Yet some dreams are not to be confused with reality. There we go.
I don't even want to comment on that.
We can create more reasons to play an illusor in illusion. The death of ignorance requires present time, dearies, everyone. Okay, 17. Envy is a waste of time. You already have all you need. You do not try to keep up with the Joneses. 18, forget issues of the past. Do not remind your partner with his or her mistakes of the past. That will ruin your present happiness. 19, life is too short to waste time hating anyone. Do not hate others. Simple and sweet. 20, make peace with your past so it will not spoil the present. 21, open the door for me, okay?
Mm.
No one is in charge of your happiness except you. 22. Realize that life is a school and you are here to learn. Problems are simply part of the curriculum that appear and fade away, such as algebra class. Yet the lessons you learn will last a lifetime. 23. Smile and laugh more. 24. You do not have to win every argument. Agree to disagree. And these apply to society. 25. Call your family and friends often. Your true family and your true friends often. 26. Each day, give something good to others. 27. Forgive everyone for everything. God, capital G, capital O, capital D, hyphen, capital D, capital E, capital S, capital S. Goddess forgave us. 28. Spend time with people over the age of 70 and under the age of 6.
Yeah.
29. Try to make at least 3 people smile each day. 30. What other people think of you is none of your business. 31. Your job will not take care of you when you are sick. Your family and friends will. Stay in touch. Life. 32. Do the right thing. 33. You remember Barack Obama said that right away. He said, let's do the right thing, folks. And saying no is not governing, and you can't be in office and not govern. Excuse me. Do the right thing. 33. Get rid of anything that is not useful, beautiful, or joyful. 34. The active principle of God is God heals everything. God is goddess in action. That's a good way to put this. 35. However good or bad a situation is, it shall too pass. It will change. 36. No matter how you feel, get up. Dress up. Show up. 37. The best is yet to come. 38. As you awake alive in the morning, thank God, Goddess, for it. 39. Your innermost is always happy. So be happy. 40. Do not waste your hard-earned money or think on things you cannot afford. Be smart. Just because you want it does not mean you should have it. 41. Be thankful to have a job, a home, clothing. Thousands of people are not so fortunate. Millions and perhaps billions. 42. Life is shorter than what you think. Do not waste your time on arguments with your significant other, family member, friend. Instead, spend your time with him, her, them. Enjoy life. That's it, folks. That's it.
Nice.
I just thought I'd be very happy to read that.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you who sent these things. Very cool. Thank you, Julie. That's who sent those things. Well, I have one more if you need me to go on.
Well, what are we going to do? What are my choices?
Well.
Okay. Well, this one is called The Irish Slave Trade, The Forgotten White Slave.
And I also have Sister.
Oh, that's right.
Sister Mira.
We could play a few of those, maybe three of those or something.
That might be good. Do you want to do that?
Sure.
Oh, my. This is, the part three I have here.
Yeah, because we heard the first two ones.
Right.
Thank you.
Should I go ahead?
Yeah, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Wait, Rama. Wait, not yet.
All right.
I lied. I'll tell you why. I had this on deck, but I forgot. I was.
There's a double echo there.
Oh, dear.
I was just laughing. I'm sorry. I had my mic.
It's okay.
Oh, that's you, Marita Robert. Okay.
And then I opened it to say something and didn't, and I forgot to close it back up again.
I'm glad I made you laugh. Okay, Rama, I was, I'm on my computer, and of course, I'm always scanning the website, and there's this question in the forum right now from a nice lady, and I really would like to have your two cents on this question.
Yes?
I'm going to read it to you. It's titled Mother Sekhmet, and it says, I am to understand that Mother Sekhmet is now one of them trying to do harm to anyone who mistrusts or is not Christian. I followed the Thursday night calls for weeks on end until I moved to Panama, and then it became difficult.
Uh-huh.
What was the question?
I am to understand that Mother Sekhmet is now one of them trying to do harm to anyone who mistrusts or is not a Christian.
You mean that the question is Mother, or she thinks she understands that Mother's not coming from the light?
It's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like. Well, that's the farthest thing from the truth.
Yeah.
The understanding, I have no idea where that came from. It's, it's out there. Those kinds of things are out there big time.
Well, we're terrible because we make jokes about orc stew.
Yes.
And we don't give a lot of explanation, and there's some new people.
Well, explanation it is this way, is that it's actually they're self-inducing it to themselves.
They're causing their own demise.
They're publicly letting people know that they are the ones that are the murderers. And all the evidence is coming out now.
The very fact that Mr. Massa came right out on TV and all the stories of that, like Ashtar said, Sexgate, it all goes back to the story. Money is never money, and sex is never sex. It's always something else, and this has to do with the lobbyists. There are something like, 3 lobbyists for every senator or congressman that are hounding them at every turn. And
remember what I said of 4 lines, the very last line, Lady Nestor in Honduras. And perception is the reality that you live. And it started with consciousness precedes thought. Thought precedes expectation. Expectation precedes perception. And perception is the reality that you live. Choose your own reality is why that comes from. And again, we just got through reading, throw away everything you do not need that has nothing to do with the power of a positive thought. Remembering that you're God, God is all that is. So as somebody were to promulgate the idea that mother is a dark, mother always says, I am the light in the dark mother, yet she did not say, I am the evil mother.
No.
And there's a difference. Evil are actions taken out of their time-space continuum. That somebody sounds like they're eating potato chips. I don't know what that is. But
that's me tapping on the keyboard fast.
Oh, you're just such a fast typer. Okay. Now that I know what that is. All right. So the deal is here right now that the universe does not read negative thoughts. It does not read that because the universe is consciousness. Consciousness precedes thought. And the womb space of creation of the universe, which is consciousness, comes out of the source, the divine feminine mother energy, of volunteering to embrace consciousness with a divine gift, which is the gift of the creation of this beautiful divine human anatomy that we get to have an experience in and merge heaven and earth through. And these are all coded to that divine feminine encodement of consciousness. Consciousness is nonlinear. It is everywhere and nowhere at all, and it precedes thought. That's pretty amazing to get deep enough to really understand this. And then thought precedes expectation. Expectation precedes perception, comes before perception. So as you should think for a minute that you would believe in stuff that is not of the light, then that has something to do with your expectation, which precedes your perception, which means there is manipulation that got into the middle of it, especially when we forget who we are. And that was the whole story of the promise, to remember that promise,
right,
that you are not alone and that this volunteer mission too shall pass and you shall return from
whence
you
came. It's easy to forget that.
If
you listen to the news and you really believe it and you worry about your bills all the time, it's really, really easy to forget that. Too easy.
It's easy, like taking candy from a baby, huh? it's really, this is the thing that structure of the state school system really became a training ground for reprogramming all of us into the darkness very, very strongly. Actually, my mother always used to say that, you know, school is a place where you learn how not to learn.
Yeah.
And you know, the earlier they can do that, the better. And again, that was why, I mean, at the time as I was a flower child and having children, in the first place, 18, 19, 20, and starting parent schools, starting parent schools and doing things to, create seminars and things for the community to come and see what we were teaching our children too, bringing these things to the community. It's the, can you open the door, sweetheart?
Yeah, it's open.
It is. Okay. kind of slow down with opening that then for a while, if you can. Okay, where was I? Where were we? Okay. Are we done with that? Okay. Okay, so do we want to jump in right now? And
okay, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
All right, ladies.
Ready for Sister Mira?
I really am ready, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, here we go.
Hey.
How that energy is coming together and harmonizing to reflect who we are individually, as they say, as above, so below. And it all begins with the great black cosmic mama, you see. Mm-hmm. And say, mama only means begin, where everything began. And everything began from blackness. All colors come from blackness. So the original blackness of beginnings is really the term for mama. And so our being, us being melanated beings, you see, this gives us the ability to harmonize energy. And in order to create, you have to balance the spirit with the soul. The European has the spirit, which is represented through the earth, represented through the air and fire elements. So the air is mental, and this is where he come up with his mastery in manipulating knowledge or information or the mind to create the illusion. And then the fire is power, which is what he has abused on an external reality. And then if you look at the earth and the water, which represents the feminine half of this whole, and the whole is what God means, whole. So we have to look at a full royal family of energy, not just the father and son. In the infinite balance of the universe, if there's a father, there has to be a mother. And if there's a son, there has to be a daughter. That is the internal hidden aspect. But it all began with the mama, or the mother energy, which begins in blackness. So it equates to the melanated ones, giving us the rulership or the royalty when it comes to activating and energizing power.
Right. Right. And so with that being said, and we'll talk about the four elements a little bit more. I know that's going to be a lot of what you share with us this evening. And you talked about the air and the fire. Let's talk about the difference of just starting with some of the basics, the constellations, the 13 constellations, and how does that actually differ from African astrology or Egyptian astrology and Western astrology? And how we place those things, because they have the elements as well too in the Western astrology, correct?
Oh, absolutely. They most certainly do. And my forte is about the study of energy. So it's not so much a comparison of the astrological systems, you see. I usually supersede that and go directly to those elements and how it identifies our holistic purpose as a God family. Yes, they do use the elements because it's really all about how energy interacts through the modes and through the elements. And this is how we read what is unfolding through the energy. So that is a part of astrology.
Right.
And the different types are just giving you different perspectives. Not
right.
Nothing wrong, you see, it's
right.
just giving
right.
you a different perspective.
Right. So when it comes to understanding about the 12 zodiac signs versus the 13, talk a little bit about that and what's the difference. What is the 13?
Well, the 13th, right now they're saying there is a 13th zodiac, we're connecting this to the Scorpio energy. It is, because it's connected to the serpent, you see, and it's just all about a new development collectively. As I was saying,
our individual, what we vibrate at individually as it becomes a collective. This is how it manifests itself into a new reality. So if we're going to connect that with Scorpio, the serpent, then it's saying that this is the energy of transformation when you're dealing with Scorpio energy. So this is the time of transformation. And so as we all begin to vibrate and start our transformation process, which means the death of the old and a rebirth of the new at a higher level, this is how we are collectively energizing and manifesting this zodiac, which is being called the 13th zodiac, to symbolize that energy of transformation into the new age.
Right. And is there any difference according to how you do your particular readings or how you do your chart versus what we may know? For instance, I was born in the month of January. According to the astrology, let's just say in the Western world, I am an Aquarian. Would there be anything different with what you use, the tools that you use?
No. Matter of fact, I do use the Western style. I to look at your energy. And that's just what it is. It's just a tool to look at your energy. And so the difference will come in the analyzation or the interpretation, what it means, what the influence means. And here is where I call myself a holistic. So what I'm bringing that is new to the table in comparison is I'm giving you a holistic perspective. We cannot do the piecemeal anymore. In other words, we have to now look at halves or balance and opposites. That is the ultimate, way, to create. That is the formula for creation. And so, now I'm going to expose the bigger picture or the larger story and put it in to harmony with the individual aspect, which represents each individual in their energy and how they contribute their energy or their universal energy to the larger purpose. So bring in balance, as above, so below, the spiritual realm versus in harmony with the physical realm, connecting the two and showing you the holistic picture. Rather than, we've been ritualized in the Western mentality. So we're only seeing part of the whole. And as long as we're seeing part of the whole, we're only seeing the illusion. So this is what I'm trying to bring to the table by identifying and defining the Royal God family. I want you to see the wholeness of how this energy comes together to represent the God family, because God only means whole, you see. So you get the highest view through those four elements. You can get no higher than viewing that energy or that God family through the four elements. Now, anything prior to identifying this perspective is all going to fit into one of those four quarters of that astrological circle. It's going to either fall. I don't care what deity you name. I don't care what God you name. I don't care what myth you talk about. You know, it's all going to find a spot in one of those four sections, you see. So we can begin to understand the roles and how those four components come together to create the whole. It's just like, I always tell my clients, it's like the four pistons of an engine, you see. All four of those pistons have to be firing at their max in order to harmonize with each other and create the engine or create the power or generate the power. And this is what we need to understand. We have all those aspects within us. And in order to step into our godhood or our empowerment, we have to step into our wholeness. That means when I have need to protect, I have need to the avenging spirit through information and knowledge, then I take on the father role. If I have need to nurture my family, to, you know, to cleanse and purify and protect the purity of the value of my family, then I step into the mama's domain. When I have the need to activate power through my passions, my creativity for protection, then I will step into the son's role. And when I have need to manifest and to bring value and character and the worthiness of the process, then I will step into my daughter role so that we have all, you know, that is the formula for creation. When you have all of those components operating in harmony, that is the problem.
Okay, part four.
When you have all of those components operating in harmony, that is the process of creation.
Right. Well, let me ask you then, with that being said, in a world that we have so many different dichotomies going on, how can we begin to bring back the cosmic family back together? How can we begin to do that?
Okay, and and this is definitely, yes, what I wanted to focus on, you know, getting the understanding out about. I am really excited at this time because there is so much cosmic information to share about how we do that, especially as melanated beings. We have to welcome the return of our ancestral energy for this new creative kingdom versus the material one. We are in an evolutionary thrush of transformation and regeneration, which is for the new age that's very quickly approaching. And it is about making your own personal transformation within the value of yourself. We've been operating from the external domain or the Father's domain, which is the spirit. He's the master of the spirit, you see, and this goes to our knowledge or our mind. So how we think is how we pull that energy and we create a spirit, you see. But that has been manipulated because the white man has access to those elements of air and fire, the spirit domain, the power domain. What has been left out, what he has not been able to access, so he has denied us access to, is the feminine half of God, which is the mama and the daughter, which indicates the mama is the master of the soul realm, and daughter is the master of the realm of value. And you have to go internal in order to access and put that into balance with what we have already mastered externally through the Father's rule. So it's all about balance. It's all about now going inside and healing. That is the daughter's role, the healer through the earth element. We have to now heal from within in our value. We have to understand who we are in the larger scheme of things so we can participate in our own individual transformation, which is a transformation of value. On August the 11th, 1999, there was a six cloth in the sky. Within the configuration of the planets. And the six cloths, what I mean by six cloths, that means all the planets were sitting in the four fixed signs of the zodiac, which is on August the 11th would be Leo, the fixed fire, opposite Aquarius, the fixed air. And then you had Taurus, the fixed earth, opposite Scorpio, the fixed water. This is what we call the cross of crucifixion. It is spoken of in the Bible as a cherubim in Ezekiel 1. The truth is in the Bible, but we have to look at it symbolically. We have literalized it, and that is what has made it not real or part of the illusion. When we see the holistic message, you see, then it's when we complete it, and it becomes real. The sixth cross indicated a reversal of energy. And since Leo is the sign of kingdom or rulership, and it indicated that this fixed cloth was reversing rulership out of the material rotation into the spiritual creative rotation. and for the new age of Aquarius, which is the opposite sign of Leo. You have to put two halves together to get the whole. That's why I call myself a holistic. I don't talk about one sign without bringing the opposite aspect into balance in that. So Leo being the sign of the creative ruler and Aquarius being the sign of I know, we are now, and the new age, or the age that we're opening up, that's opening up in 2012. This was symbolic of a new rulership for the new age. And the fact that that Aquarius is the sign of I know, it has to be I know I am the creative ruler of the zodiac in order to activate this new rulership. The other rays of this fixed cross was Taurus opposite Scorpio. Taurus is the sign of value. So it is dealing with our values and where we have attached our values in this illusionary rulership, the material rulership. Opposite Scorpio, the sign of transformation. So it is now time for a transformation of values in order to activate a new rulership for the new age. And our individual transformation means a transformation of our personal values from this material into this creative empowerment. So we now have to cultivate our creative gifts in order to contribute to the overall creative process. So actually, transformation of value, coming out of the illusion. We have been manipulated mentally to contribute our energy to this illusionary process. Anywhere we focus our energy, that's the sun. Anytime you see the sun, it's where energy is being focused. Anytime you pull your energy, you create a spirit. So the light man has become a master at getting us to pull our energy to create a spirit that will continue to energize the illusion. As we remove our value, it's like the Freddy Krueger story. The only way they could kill Freddy Krueger was to ignore him. So we have to now stop participating. We have to stop energizing by allowing them to gain our attention and our value so that we focus and energize the solution. We now have to put the value toward the cosmic family as a whole. And this is identifying with who you are and activating or defending the value of this collective God family above anything else. So, transformation of yes.
Right. So, let's talk a little bit, because I heard you mention this. How does the different planet deities affect our bodies and organs? How does that impact us?
Okay, all energy unfolds through the aspects. We have a 360-degree, in other words, all the aspects that are made as you make a complete cycle, spiral, spiritual spiral, that's the cycle that completes and creates a vortex, which opens up and brings energy down from Mama Universe. So the thing is, I started off by telling you that you have an internal universe from how, that's what you call your natal chart, where all the planets were sitting and came together and converged to make the internal you who you are. Well, you also have what we call the transit, or the external universe. And as that circles the earth and forms aspects to our internal universe, this is how we are influenced from the cosmos or from the heavens. So the circles, the cycles that comes around and forms different angles is how we are influenced internally, you see, to harmonize with that larger agenda, you see, yeah. And that's how we're guided.
Beautiful, beautiful. We are live in the remix, and we are speaking with Sister Myra right here, a remix first, and we are talking about astrology this evening. And to continue on with astrology and talking about the planets, not much has been found about Pluto as it relates to Kemet or to ancient Egypt. And the European science seems to suggest it's really not a planet. Do you know anything about how much Pluto may or may not play in being sort of a symbol in our ancient sciences? And I was just going to say, and about which deity it sort of reflects, or the energy it reflects off of him?
Okay, now you give me a chance to demonstrate what I mean. And how to identify energy. Okay, yes, Pluto, and I'm glad you used the word symbol, because I am a symbologist. I'm not very literal. I'm not going to give you too many details.
Okay.
I'm a very conceptual person. But now that you mentioned the planet Pluto, okay?
Come on. Shall I go to part five?
I think so.
Got one more.
Okay, go.
Before we gotta go. Here we go.
Thank you.
Pluto rules the sign of Scorpio. So I want to get the characteristics of the planet Pluto from Scorpio energy. Scorpio, a water sign. And anytime we're dealing with water, we're dealing with mama, okay? Black mama.
Yep.
She's the fluidity. She's actually the density of energy, the melanated component that brings the color, the black hole we talk about, blackness of the cosmic universe. That's the water or the oil that gives us the ability. She represents the soul realm. Pluto is one of the last planets out there. And it represents the planet of regeneration and transformation. This is one of the reasons why the European wants to deny the value of Scorpio, because it is transformation time. And that means the death of the old for a rebirth of the new at a higher level. So, as I was saying, in our individual transformation, remember Scorpio was one of those signs of the sixth house that activated our reversal. So that is why they want to deny Scorpio's value right now, because it's not in their best interest for this transformation to occur. And they work, this is how they create the illusion. They will give us something mentally. They will give us something through the knowledge or the father's rulership of knowledge. And as we feed into that, you see, that is how we... if we begin to believe it, then we begin to energize it. So as many people as they can get to believe, oh, Pluto doesn't count, you know, then they think they can abort this transformation. If they can get enough of us not to believe in the transformative power of what Pluto is doing at this time.
Right. And so, right, do the planets impact us in a particular physical way? You know, a lot of times you'll hear or read astrology and it will say, you know, kidneys, liver, lungs. Are these things impacting us on the planet when these different planets realign themselves?
Oh, yes, absolutely. As I said, they will form those angles and influence your internal planet. Scorpio is one of the, it's farthest out. The farther the planet is out, the longer it takes to show its effect. That's why it is the planet of transformation, you know, the death of the old. So it's like a lifelong transformation. And since it's water, it's going to be emotional, or it's going to be a psychological transformation, you know. And then the next planet in would be Neptune. Neptune moves the sign of Pisces. So we'll get the characteristics of Pisces for what Neptune is influencing. Neptune is like we've been in the Piscean age, which is the sign of I believe. And that is how we have been deceived, because Neptune is the planet of deception, delusion. illusions, misconceptions, as well as spirituality. But if it's not used as in the highest level of spirituality, then it's used to deceive. And since Pisces is also a water sign, then we are manipulating emotionally our beliefs. And this is how we have contributed to this illusion. This is how we've been bamboozled in the illusion through the Piscean age, I believe, you know, through the Neptune influence of obscurity, spirituality. So now, and this is, we just came out of the Virgo energy. Like I said, I'm not going to talk about one sign without talking about its opposite, because it's not until you put them together do you get the holistic understanding. So Neptune rules Pisces, which is the sign of the subconscious, opposite Virgo, which is earth versus the water of Pisces. Virgo is the earth, and it is ruled by Mercury, which represents your conscious mind. So it is about, Virgo is the sign of wisdom. It's about cleansing and purifying of false values. If any time you're dealing with the earth element, you're dealing with values. So it's about cleansing and purifying of false values so you can heal and cleanse out the pollution of the subconscious, which is where our true power stems from, because that is actually the last water sign, or the ultimate mama, which represents our connection to the soul realm. So our subconscious is what connects us to the soul realm. It has been polluted by a false value in the illusion. Now it is being cleansed and purified so that we can now go back and access internal ancient memory of mama, the beginning, our original power, a cleanse of its pollution, and begin to use that power or that energy, you know, to heal and uplift and redeem daughter earth, or, you know, the God family to its rightful position. Been usurped by the peasants, and it's now time to come back full circle to our royalty.
We are live in the remix, everybody, speaking with Sister Myra. And you can also search for Sister Myra and find out information like we played in the very beginning from her blog, and also find out about private consultations if you want to know more about you and when you were born, about your astrology and your, you know, where you're from and things that's going to impact you for as many, many years to come. You can simply go to MySpace and search for Sister Myra, and that's S-I-S. T-A-R, and then Myra, M-Y-R-A-H, and it will take you right there. You'll be able to see that as well. So as we continue on, let's talk about something that is very true to us and impacting us in many different ways here on this particular planet, planet Earth. Let's talk about music tones and vibrations and what effect they have upon them.
Yes, yes. And you hit up on the key word, vibrations, because that is what it's all about. Vibrational tone. Everything vibrates, you know, even your table vibrates. But the slower it vibrates, the more it takes on form, the harder. The faster it vibrates, the more we're into the spirit of who we are. And that is what it is, that's what we need to do now. We need to lift our vibration until we bring it into harmony or into balance with the physical energy, you see. Now it's time to cleanse and purify and lift our vibrations so that we will bring it to the same level in balance. And only when it is in balance does it complete the cycle and brings forth the whole and opens up that vortex and becomes real. So we're on the verge of becoming full circle. Energy is spiral, you know, not linear. So like I said, everything begins with the mama. So in the beginning, energy came. See, spirit moves inside out, not outside it.
Right, right.
So it's what we have to do. We have to go inside and, you know, what we send out. We're energy beings as melanated people. You see, the yin and the yang. And what we send out is what we bring back, you see. That's why they took such care to misinform us in our beliefs, so that we would not send out, you know, the true value of who we are and not gain it back in return, you see. So it's all about going in and healing, and being able to move out in that energy and step up to your godhood and contribute to the evolution of Daughter Earth. It's Daughter Earth people, not Mother Earth. It's Mama Universe and Daughter Earth. You have to understand that relationship to understand how energy works. So Mama is she's the sovereign being. All energy comes from the universe. And her scepter is the black woman. But she has to be at the highest in her value in order to bring that energy and manifest it, externalize it, and dispense it to the masculine end of the process, which is father and son. So this is what is now we have to do as we make our individual transformation. When I talk about Daughter Earth, I'm saying the same thing as Daughter Character. She's the energy of, she's the spirit of character. But that character has been compromised because of materialism. If you look at the first sign of Taurus.
Oh, that's all.
Okay.
Oh my.
I wanted to remind everyone about these great meditation calls that have started on Monday nights with Cheryl Croce.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to go to these meditation calls and connect with everybody, and they're doing amazing work. I want to go ahead and give out the call number just in case, and I'm just doing a reminder. It's every Monday. And the phone number is 213-289-0500, and the PIN code for that is 946-7441. And I'll have to remember to announce that earlier on the calls.
Oh, and Beth, we were just hoping maybe we could play our favorite song on the way out here.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. Okay.
What song is our favorite song?
Whim Away. What do you call it?
Oh, the Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we got it queued up. Get it queued up.
Thank you.
And come tomorrow, everyone. This is getting more and more exciting by the second.
It is.
I love you, everyone. Thank you for all of your energies tonight. I know that it's been kind of quiet, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Strangely quiet.
I hope you enjoyed this. Are you ready, honey?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Okay.
All right, everybody. Oh, the sound. Just take it in.
Okay, I'm turning it up a little bit.
All the way, please. All the way. Okay, let's go.
It's a little loud.
Let's go.
Family lives close to the jungle. At the end of the day, they all sit together around the fire. They have their supper and relax and talk a little. The youngest boy becomes afraid. He hears all the sounds of the wild animals in the forest. Cheetahs, wolves, jackals and lions. He starts crying at the darkness and wild sounds and feeling of fear. Then his mother takes him in her arms and says to him, "The family is always strong together. They protect one another. grandparents, his father and mother, uncles, aunts, cousins, brothers and sisters, they all join and sing together. Soon he falls asleep. Only the beautiful song fills his ears.
Thank you.